Pit Imps Podcast is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery. Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast. This is episode number 95. I am your opiate-induced host, Angelo. And back with me this week is the full team. What's up, Will?
Oh, not much, man. I'm here.
That's all we can ask for. And Ryan, how's it going over there?
Yay, Will! what up? What the fuck's going on, motherfuckers? Glad Will's back. I'm pretty excited, so we're ready to rock for you.
Yep. And luckily, this is not a busy week, so we should be able to actually jam through this fairly quickly.
Yeah, hell yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so SCG in Columbus, Ohio, which, you know, I was unable to get to due to the fact that I can't shuffle real cards.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it, actually.
Oh, man.
How embarrassing.
What a huge event. So 11 rounds of standard.
That's crazy. That's
756 players, I want to say.
Yeah, it was big.
Well, you know what, though? The Columbus Convention Center can hold that kind of people, though. So.
Yeah, Columbus, they do pretty good over there. Like, I always wonder why SCG doesn't come to Pittsburgh, but then you see numbers like this in Columbus, and it's like...
Columbus is a much easier city to access.
Yeah, it is.
Like 71 and 70 both go through there. You can get there within 3 hours from anywhere.
Yeah, short of the airports. Like Pittsburgh's an easy airport to get to from anywhere, but
it's true.
Short of the, I mean, even when they did do the SCG Open in Pittsburgh a few years back, like it was at the airport basically. So like, I mean, it was, yeah, it is a little bit easier short of the airport to get into Columbus than it is our nice hood. Anyway. So, we had a top eight that consisted of Andy Ferguson, Sean Evans, Ben Steiner, David Nolan, Tom Ross, Michael Hamilton, Nicholas Bowen, and Steve Rubin. Steve Rubin beats Bowen, Tom Ross, 2-1s over Hamilton, Steiner 2-1s over Nolan, Ferguson 2-1s over Evans, Ferguson over Steiner 2-0, Rubin 2-0 over Tom, the boss, Ross, and Steve Rubin. Wins this thing 2-1 with a deck that he created and, Ari Lax took and went and won a world championship with. Or not a world championship, but a pro tour.
That is kind of different. He's got some Brimaz, man.
Did Ari create, or did he cite Ruben as the creator of his deck?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah.
I mean, so, he's evolved it a little bit, through the weeks for sure.
Which you have to do. I mean,
yeah,
deck's perfect the first time.
Yep. Very cool. I'm glad to see the designer playing it well too. That's awesome. He had to take down some guys to get there too.
He did. A little bit different metagame. We thought it was broken last week, Ryan, and I don't see any of the heroic Jeskai.
Well, the perfect answer for it. Everyone was prepared for it this week, and so we saw a lot of players just drop the red from their deck and go with this blue-white heroic. Brad Nelson was on this list, a few other notable players, Tom Ross, obviously, top eighted. They just got rid of the red and jammed the full Four Gods Willings main. And
Willing is a pretty sick counterspell, right?
Right, right. That, and you're seeing a lot of Drowning Sorrows and the people who are running red, all of a sudden the 3 damage to everything spell started showing up in people's main boards.
Anger of the Gods. Yeah. Sure.
So what we see is a direct, response to that. And instead of going wide, like the Jeskai combo deck did last week, they just went bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah.
So this is running, creatures.
More efficient single cards.
Right.
Yeah. These are the heroic creatures that don't give you tokens, but get 1/1 counters. Like, the favorite Hoplite. I think that was in the other list, but that gets a 1/1 counter.
Hoplite with the scry triggers as well, you know.
Yeah, so, and the 1/1 counters. That thing was, I saw that, like, it was, he had 6.
Yeah, taking down drafts everywhere. I mean, standard events.
In order though, Ruben's deck, like Ryan said, one of his changes is the Brimaz. He has 2 of them in his main board. He is playing with a Johnny main as well. I'm still not seeing the tech that I suggested in the sideboard, but that's okay. I'm sure somebody
What's
will get to it. The Abzan Falconer.
Okay, I'd have liked to see Back to Nature in the sideboard, but whatever.
Yeah, I just want to see Sea Drinos in the air, because, you know, in the mirror match, that has to be like a winning card.
Yeah, you know what else is very good? You know what's the winning card in the mirror match is Whip of Erebos.
Oh, insane. You cannot fight through Whip Advantage.
Yeah, but almost everybody is running the whips in the sideboard, although Steve Rubin decided that it was unneeded, so.
Yeah, no, his sideboard is just Planeswalkers and removal.
Yep.
All it is. He just says, I want to keep the board clear. and value you.
Yeah. Hey, he's trying to go more mid-rangier.
Yeah, no, I mean, it, you know, that's what the Abzan deck does the best. If it makes it till turn 5 or 6, its board position is just going to get better and better because everyone else can't keep up. So you know, just make it better.
Second place, that Abzan deck went up against Andy Ferguson's Mardu deck, which is a lot along the lines. I mean, do you remember like a while back, Ryan, I was sitting there going, oh, gee, Butcher of the Horde, this makes everything perfect. You start with Bloodstoke Champion, then you put in something like, I don't know, Brain Maggot or something. Then you go Rabble Master into
Brain Maggot is so
in the Storm Breath. Hey, look at this deck.
this deck is got a really nice creature package, and it really has ability to control both the opponent's hand and the board, you know, while continuing to develop.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, the big thing that was done.
Not a fan of the Maggot.
Was
Brain Maggot is so insanely good.
It's like, good. I just don't like four of them. Now, there's so much enchantment hate.
The idea isn't so much about getting it to stick around at all. A lot of the value from Thoughtseize and Brain Maggots come from the ability to see your opponent's hand, sculpt your plays for the next 3 to 4 turns, and make sure that you're not allowing them to utilize their cards properly. You know, plus if you get to hide something under it for 2 turns, it just makes it that much better. Like
I see people playing Brain Maggot in this list, and I also see people running Painseer, and there's another 2-drop whose name escapes me that deals damage whenever it attacks.
Yeah.
See people running those too.
Yeah,
so.
It's a bestow creature, even a tormented
spiteful returned or something.
Deals 2 damage when it's a 1/1 deals 2.
The Painseer I like as a card, but I don't like as much in this list because he actually just doesn't have an overwhelming number of threats, so it can, you know, it'll just eat removal and be done.
Yeah. And against quicker decks, you don't want to be taking damage off of your
much.
I mean, it's just bad. To be real honest, like Brain Maggot, I know you didn't play during the time of like Tide Hollow Sculler.
Mesmeric Fiend, that was the original?
Yeah. But I think a lot of people would probably remember Tide Hollow before Mesmeric Fiend.
You know? Oh, sure. I mean, it's...
Yeah, Tide Hollow is the tits in Modern, for sure.
Right. Well, I mean, it works kind of on the same axis where it goes, okay, I'm going to put down, you know, this card, but I'm going to take your one burn spell so I can open the door for my Goblin Rabble Master to come down the next turn.
Exactly.
And then no matter what, you have to waste your next creature kill spell on the
Brain Maggot. Yeah. Then there's the other lines of play where they just have all the removal and you just take their creature drops to make them go turns behind. Like, the amount of times that you can time walk someone with a Brain Maggot is very real.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's like, guys, oh, I'm going to take your Stoke and I'm going to take your Lightning, you have a Lightning Strike and a Stoke. Okay. I'm going to take your Lightning Strike and then I'm going to play this Rabble Master. So you have to wait for Stoke or you have to draw something to get back your thing, which I'm basically just stealing a turn off of you.
Oh, you have a Rabble Master and you're on the play. I take your Rabble Master. Mm. I then have Rabble Master advantage. You know, it's a supremely awesome card.
I'm going to take your one.
What do you think of Herald of Torment in this, maybe fitting a Herald of Torment in here?
Herald is the bestow guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah, the fly.
But just to deal with
Abzan, getting over the top of Abzan is really the big.
But you know, you're really just trying to finish with burn against the Abzan deck. You have 4 Stokes, 3 Magma Jets, 3 Lightning Strikes, and 4 Crackling Dooms. I feel like you should be able to peel a way through.
Yeah, and realistically, like, I would rather have the Hushwing Griff, which he has in the sideboard to shut off
really,
the Rhino.
Yeah, really great tech.
Yeah, I'm gonna shut off your Rhinos.
Shut off your Wingmate Rock.
Shut off the Wingmate Rock, shut off the Rhino. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take that 6-point swing that you get just for playing this card, I'm going to take that away from you. And, you know, I'm fine with getting through for 2 in the air if that's all I get. Oh, well.
2 in the air is pretty real. Plus, you just have Butcher of the Horde that's going to come down and Storm Breath that's going to come down. So I think your ability to get, you know, you have a lot of evasion in the deck, actually.
Yeah, and the combination between Bloodstoke Champion and Butcher of the Horde is something that cannot be overlooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus Bloodstoke
it's
Champion.
It's just 2 mana, do everything you
himself,
want.
Too. I mean, he triggers himself when he attacks for raids, so that's also good, too. So I love the Storm, the 2 Storm Breath over Sarkhan.
The Butcher Bloodsoaked interaction is that you can activate the Butcher's abilities multiple times in the attack phase for 2 mana pop.
And just raid him in. Yeah. Just like, oh, I got 8 mana, he's gonna get everything. Yeah. That cannot be overlooked. But essentially, you know, it's the deck you would expect to see as far as, you know, the four Crackling Doom, which realistically is probably one of the top two removal spells in the format.
So good.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It's so good. It is so good. I wish it was just a black card.
Well, it probably would cost a lot more if it was just a black card.
Yeah, well, then make it black red, man. Like, get that white out of there. I hate that color.
So, sideboard is three Hushwing Griff, two Suspension Field, two Erase, three Magma Jet, one Erebus, God of the Dead, two Magma Spray. I'm sorry. Two Anger of the Gods and two Harness by Force. Just
love the harness.
I love all the cards he has in consideration for the various Jeskai decks and the various heroic decks. You know, the Anger, the Erase, the Magma Spray, Suspension Field. Like,
harness is real good against Abzan too.
That's where it's coming in. It's coming in against Abzan, against the big green decks and stuff like that. You know,
I mean, the sideboard's got game. It looks like pretty much against everything.
Yeah, it's a very diverse sideboard. You know, I think it's a pretty sweet deck.
That's what you want your sideboard to do. I mean, this deck realistically, I know you said the other day, Ryan, you know, you wished that you would have gotten to play during Doran. Like, this is the Doran deck. It's like a couple really big creatures. You have some early one drops.
And some removal.
Yeah. And I have, you know, like, Brain Maggot is Tidehollow's color, basically. Your Blood Soak Champion is your, BFT. You know, it's just like the Butcher of the Horde is the Doran. Yeah. It's a little bit slower, but it still works on the same axis.
Well, it's hasty though.
Right. Right.
So it makes up for the tempo loss.
Yeah. It's still attacking on the same turn. And then you have all this just pure removal to get that one big threat to stick and deal all the damage you need to. I mean, this is the way that deck played out. Like, I feel like, and I actually look at the cards that I do have, and I'm like, I'm very close to building this deck. And yeah, I think I could pick this up tomorrow and run it almost flawlessly just because it's so close to Doran.
Yeah, it's something I've been doing for a while, for sure.
Artie's been creeping around.
Like, Stoke of Flame interactions and Rabble Master interactions, but I mean, you got that shit.
Yeah, I got that down. Using Thought Seize, I mean, that was in the original deck. I know how to run that.
I'm still a fan of the more controlling Mardu shell.
You're just not going to have the same turn 8 to turn 10 that some of the other decks are going to have. So, like, you know, I think it's really good to take the initiative with the.
I was a big fan of the one that Brad Nelson and them were running a couple weeks back, the top 8-ed GPLA with the Hoarding Outburst and Soren.
Yeah, but that, I don't think that converts very well to a week after, you know, the Jeskai
type. Yeah, that was crazy. Like,
going wide is going to be what people are going to try and stop the most this week, you know?
Yeah, this really hits the ground running a lot sooner than turn three, like the other deck. I mean, it's right out the gate.
Realistically, I mean, you don't have the time to get to Elspeth right now in this format. So,
it's been running Elspeth main. They had it side.
Right, but I mean, like, that's what a lot of the plans of some of the Mardu decks have been floating around. Like, I'm going to get to my Elspeth. I'm going to get to my Sarkon, you know, and I'm having two good creatures. Yeah, that's kind of an issue. And yeah, Blood Soak Champion doesn't solve that, but you know, hey, Brain Maggot kind of does. But Blood Soak Champion kind of solves it because of the Butcher of the Horde interaction.
Well, it gives you a different
early pressure game. Too.
Early pressure makes them answer what you're doing before they can start their own plans.
Right.
And sometimes the turn or two is all you need.
Yeah. The other deck wasn't doing anything until turn three. When it would or turn, well, it could maybe play Seeker the away or whatever.
Yeah,
two,
but
that's slow because you're not doing anything with it on turn two, essentially. So they weren't really doing anything until turn three.
Right.
Absolutely.
So speaking of decks that want to get off the ground early,
Tom Ross.
This white heroic deck is. I just, you know, I'm looking at how beautiful the little things in this deck are. Like, he has this Helioid's Pilgrim, which is theoretically pretty underpowered, but just like the one of. He has access to with the deck, you know, it's just
calling Pilgrim Stoneforge Mystic.
It looks like a dude. You can get make my guy unblockable. You can get gain 10 life. You can get draw two cards. You can get a removal spell flying. I mean, it's just it's crazy good.
Speaking of gain 10 life, so that happened in one of his top 8 matches. I believe his opponent had a block. Yeah, he searched out the ordeal and put it on a Hoplite that I believe already had
one counter. That's all.
So now he's at 3 as soon as he turns sideways.
So he sacked it right away and put him out of range, and his opponent was like, well, did not see that coming.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a lot of draft all-stars.
It is a ton of draft all-stars.
And they're just going, okay, we're going to work it this way. It's 4 Battlewise Hoplite, 4 Favorite Hoplite, 3 Helioids Pilgrim, 4 Hero of Iroas, 3 Seeker of the Way, and 2 Eidolon of Countless Battles. So if you're counting along with me, that is about $3.
All right, can I just, one thing about this draft all-stars, his mana base notably has 2 Tranquil Coves and only 1 Mana Confluence.
Okay, yeah.
That says a lot right there.
Yeah, 4 Flooded Strand, 4 Temple of Enlightenment.
Oh yeah, I mean, you need those.
The land is the most expensive thing in this deck, and they're not the most expensive things right now.
No, even Flooded Strand is, you know, pretty cheap right now. This deck, yeah. People, we said it last week. We told you, run your fucking Back to Natures this week.
Yeah,
the fuck are the Back to Natures at? We said it last week.
I actually kind of wish I had really thought about putting together a blue-white heroic list for Modo to grind on. I thought that was a good way for me to kind of build a ticket total. And I think that,
yeah,
I mean,
had her mono red, yeah.
Well, blue-white heroic is a deck that I feel like has more play and it really suits my play style. So this is a list that I would not have put together.
For sure.
And now you can.
Yeah, I mean, like...
On MTGO, I mean, I can tell you right now, Mana Confluence is like 3 ticks.
Yeah,
or not
I know.
Confluence, but Tranquil Cove is 3. Flooded Strand, I think, is like 9. And Mana Confluence
I already have
10. So, I mean, like, it's not...
I'm pretty sure I could get by with a second or third island instead of the Mana Confluence if I needed to.
Probably.
But like, you know, it's just, it's a very powerful linear strategy that, you know, this little tutor package he has really gives it a lot of play on the late game with this deck, which is turn 5.
Yeah. And if anybody played in the, M15, draft, you know, Helioids Pilgrim, you know, you would go, if you played white red, you just would house with this card. But the enchantments that you can get with this are Aquaeus Form, 1 Order of Ordeal of Helioid, 4 Ordeal of Thassa, because drawing cards is good. Singing Bell Strike.
That is a sweet 1-of tutor pack. That is just so awesome.
Oh yeah, if you can begin to get a Hoplite on turn 3, around 2 or 3, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go get your Singing Bell Strike to stop the one blocker your opponent has, like, good night.
That's it, man. That's it. Get the fuck out of here, Rhino. Come on.
Yeah, you can get a Stratus Walk. And then the rest of the spells are 4 God's Willing, because you're not going to kill my stuff. 2 Feet of Resistance, because, hey, tokens with ordeals are good, and you're not going to kill my stuff. And 4 Defiant Strike, because +1/+0, plus all the heroic shenanigans, plus draw a card is pretty good for 1 white.
Yeah, this deck is so full of card advantage. Like, granted, you're only drawing 2 very specific types of cards, but in the 5 turns you're going to play Magic, you're just going to see 4 more cards than them, and that's probably...
He finished a lot of games with his hand with 3-4 cards.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
He had a lot of games where he finished where he had cards in hand. Stratuswag, Defiance, like everything in this draws.
Yeah, everything draws you cards. So, you know, and like, even in the sideboard, like, if you're not drawing enough cards, just board in the 2 Treasure Cruise for sure, right? Like,
yeah.
Crazy.
It's just nutty. And on top of that, like, if you're targeting your Battlewise Hoplite, you're scrying before your draws.
Yeah.
And,
oh my god.
You have 8 forms of draw at main board.
Yeah. It's very, very strong. I mean, you're
drawing cards.
You're going to be
Treasure
very consistent.
Cruise is one of the game.
Yeah. My favorite card in the sideboard is the 3 Stubborn Denial. This card is so spicy in this deck, for sure.
It's so good against mid-range.
Well, they have to catch up.
They never see it coming. The mid-range players just never see this coming, especially if you're not on teamer.
I mean, you can't. It's not even like you can play around it with this deck, because you're just going to be ferocious on turn fucking 2.5, you know?
I don't necessarily even know if it's that. I think if you're in a mid-range deck and you're playing against this, you can't play around this, because...
No, can't.
If you wait that extra turn, you're dead. You have no choice. You have to go balls to the wall and get something down to start blocking right away. Or, you know, if you're not making a play till turn 3, you're probably down 8 life. And it's not looking any better, so you have to force something out. And hey, if you go turn 3 something big and they go Stubborn Denial, you go, well, okay. Nothing I can really do about that.
It definitely hits all the Sorens and the Elspeths and really everything outside of Siege Rhino that deck does.
I don't even know how much this deck cares about Siege Rhino. I mean, it's a thing, but it's not a problem, really.
He didn't seem to have... I mean, his creatures got
bigger. They're just bigger. and they evade, and if you're in a bind, you just fucking get an Aqueous Form and forget about it.
Right. right?
Wow.
So the rounding out the rest of the sideboard, is one Helioids Pilgrim, two Laguna Band Elder, one Seeker of the Way, another Quest for him, one more Ordeal of Heliod, two of Johnny's Presence, because why do we want to get touched? And two Erase. So, and if you want to look further into this deck, I know Tom Ross did do a write-up about it before the tournament saying, hey, this is what I'm going to play. And he went and played it. Big ups to him for doing that. I know a lot of people say, oh, this is what I'd be playing this weekend. They show up with something completely different.
Right. Like the counter to that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was like, this is what I'm playing. He showed up with it and God damn it, it worked. Ben Steiner was on Obzon mid-range, and this is more the, I don't know.
There's a couple more planeswalkers
in it. The sideboard's a lot different.
Sideboard's very
different. He has the two Anafenses in there, which is still kind of old tech.
Ryan, he's got your back to natures, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, he does not have enough ways to draw cards, so he has an extra read the bones in the sideboard on top of the four Obzon charms he has.
No, that makes sense.
Hey, draw cards.
I mean, like, in the mid-range matches, like in the mirror,
yeah.
You know, drawing two extra cards is gonna be very good, and you don't care about your life total when you have, like, whips and
Abzan charm, that match oftentimes comes down to who, draws more with Abzan charm.
Yeah,
and he has some spice to draw into with, two end hostilities too.
Just one end hostilities. Oh, two in the main, yeah. Three total. I'm sorry, I saw the one in the
top. Yeah, two in the main though. That is pretty interesting.
A lot.
Yeah. I've seen you one reset or two Dune Blast.
No, I know. I mean, it's if you're the guy who has the end hostilities in your mid range deck, you can really make more destructive plays with the end hostilities than you would if, say, like a blue white control deck, because
also,
you can just like, oh, you know, you really, you know, play up how you're not drawing the right cards and where's my fucking Siege Rhinos and blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden he has three or four guys on the board and you end hostilities. You know,
on top of that, when you're going up against these really fast, wide decks that have popped up in recent weeks, hey, you know, you have Sylvan Caryatids in there that, you know, it's going to get you to where, hey, I can actually play this on three or four. I don't care about the fact that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be now creatureless without my Caryatids because, you know what? You've already blown your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fine with that. I'm going to come back from there. Green-Black
Devotion. That's a no-shoot real quick. Also, I think it makes Soren a little bit better too. You get a lot more value out of his neg two within hostilities.
Any planeswalker that can put in creatures, Wrath of God type effects are great to go with.
So he goes up a bit in value there for me.
Fair enough. Actually, right now on MTGO, Soren is the most expensive card in the set.
I believe that entirely.
Yeah. So Green-Black Devotion finished fifth place.
A little bit of spice. He has a Xenagos and a Court of Calling package. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yes, he does. Two Nylias. It's for the most part what we've been seeing.
Yeah, it's the Doomwake deck, but you know he just has the one red card in there, which is Xenagos, God of Rebels, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, there's like three or four creature flex slots in this list for sure. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could just as well be a Nissa or something like that in the main, but, you know, I really like the Court of Calling in this deck as well, because you can go for infinity with it, so might as well.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I'd like to see, Hornet's Nest in here if you're running Court of Calling too, because that's,
I think that's a little too cute.
Caleb Durward got to, what did he finish at the 50k with that Court of Calling Hornet Nest deck? Like third or something?
Yeah, it's cute, but sick in a good world of all these ground big creatures.
Yeah.
To bring in against Abzan, it's wonderful because you know they're on the ground and they're gonna try to attack with their
rounds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, as a sideboard card, I think it's sweet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be dicking around with it in the main.
I don't think I would.
I'm not as baller as Caleb Durward is.
Yeah, if you're running Court, I also think you should be maybe running like a one of Reclamation Sage.
Yeah, I could agree with that right now. Even though, I mean, Erase is showing up in a lot of decks and there is a lot of removal as far as enchantments go, but yeah, you should probably have a Reclamation Sage just for the exact same reason. Because black green, I don't know, does this deck have a lot of removal towards that?
No, even Hero's Downfall isn't the norm in this list.
Right.
I'm not running.
Have a lot of enchantment removal at all. So yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Completely, yes.
I think it could use one of those. Just because Court is such a toolbox aspect to it, you might as well try to take advantage of it, and all it takes is that one spot, so.
Right. So the next deck we're gonna run into is Mardu Midrange, and this is different than the Mardu Aggro I talked about earlier. This is the one that tops off, It has the two Sarkons. It has the two Stormbreath Dragons. It doesn't have the little creatures we were talking about. It has Sorin, has the Hordling Outburst, the Chain to the Rocks. It's the deck that we've seen Brad Nelson run recently.
This is the top 16 list from GPLA.
Five list. I like it. I mean, my personal playstyle puts me to something a little earlier. I mean, I've kind of been on Mardu's nuts since it came out, and I'm glad to see it performing well. I mean, like, I was on what your other show, Ryan, and Vins asked me if I was going to go to a tournament this weekend, what would I bring? And Mardu. I like it.
Bro, and I love seeing the Bloodsoak Champion really did work. The Bloodsoak Champion won
a lot of games.
Did work, man. Put in work, got in.
Yes.
A lot of games came down to 2 to 4 life, and that pushed it over. But this list is, you know, it's had success in recent weeks. So, and David Nolan's obviously comfortable with it. So.
Right. I mean, again, though, like, I think the Bloodsoak Champion being main board in the mirror match gives that deck the advantage solely because of the fact that it makes Sorin so bad.
Yeah. And I think it's better than Seeker. I'm just not huge on Seeker of the Way. I'm sorry.
Not in this deck.
Just not pick on it.
Like this deck doesn't have ways to target your guys. Like,
yeah, I want to take cards from you.
Why is he even running Seeker of the Way? He has zero.
He has zero
ways to target at main deck though. It's just a bear.
They cast removal spells and it becomes a 3/3. They cast a Chain to the Rocks.
Oh right. It's not heroic. It's prowess.
It's better in the heroic. No doubt, but.
Seeker's pretty sweet in this deck.
After seeing what Bloodsoak Champion.
Well, yeah, I would cut the 4 Hordling Outburst for the Bloodsoak Champion.
Hordling's really good too, though.
It's not as good as Seeker play.
It's entirely.
Not anywhere even as close to as good as Seeker.
It depends entirely on what package you want to run. Because if you're gonna run Sorin, you want the Hordling Outbursts. If you're not going to run Sorin, then I absolutely see the point in saying, you know what, I don't need the Hordling Outburst. It is, but Bloodsoak Champion is also good with Butcher, where Sorin giving the +1/+1 to everything when you're going wide is far more advantageous than just having a Bloodsoak Champion.
Yeah, well, in a meta where everyone's running 1/1 removal, Hordling Outburst is better. When everyone's running like Anger of the Gods removal,
if they're using their 1/1 removal on your Seeker of the Way, I think that you're getting wins with stack.
Yeah, I mean, personally,
it makes a very good lightning rod, really. I mean, it might as well just
be I mean, he's running both of them. That's what we've been seeing, but I would maybe shave down to, in some lists we've seen 2-3 Seekers. I would maybe shave down to 2 and run 2 Bloodsoaked. I don't know, just make a...
I'm more on the 4 Bloodsoaked list. I think that one would be.
More aggressive, It seemed better for this week.
I like taking cards from people's hands, so I'm going to ignore the Seekers, go with the Bloodsoaked, and just say, I'm going to run Maggots. That's my 2 drop.
Brain Maggots, it's extremely
good. I will probably change the mana base a little bit because, you know, I want to play turn 1 spells, you know? I probably rely a lot more on fetches.
Less on temples.
Yeah, I probably would. But, you know, hey, that's enough Mardu talk. The nice thing about Mardu, though, which I think all of us can agree, is there's more than one way to build it. It's not the way we've seen.
Yeah, and even just changing, you know, 5 cards in your 75, it can really drastically affect how you're trying to win the game, what your path to victory is.
Oh, yeah, it legitimately changes the deck. It becomes 2 completely different decks. But, you know, I love me some Dirtle decks, and Blue-Black Control running the 2 Pearl Awakening.
I can't believe this deck is so good, Ryan.
No. Why are you going to hate on this? This deck is
awesome. Even the people at the Pro Tour that played it were like, this is the worst deck I've ever played.
And they had excellent results with it. We don't need to think about the vacuum of all of the magic. You just have to think about who you have to beat. And this deck can beat what's out there.
Oh man, just not a fan.
It's not pretty. No. I mean, you're not happy when you activate
Perilous
Vault.
This version of Blue Black Control is better than the other one without Perilous Vault.
I don't know. I mean, I think it can go both ways.
I'm a fan. The Vault, it needs the Vault to win.
Again, no, it really depends on matchups. If you're facing against Abzan decks all day long and Jeskai decks like Rotor, then the Perilous Vaults versions were actually worse. But in the modern metagame, you know, 3 weeks later, the Perilous Vaults are gaining value.
The Perilous Vault gain incremental value on top of the fact that, you know, hey, this is the only mass removal that black-blue reliably has.
That and your -2/-2.
Yeah, that's not reliable mass removal. Yeah. So, I mean, this is like everything's dead, but on top of that, you know, people are running dig through times. People are running, you know, treasure cruises. And hey, exiling a graveyard is legitimate.
It also kills planeswalkers.
Yeah, it does.
It's one of the few main deck answers to Whip of Erebos and a lot of other problem cards, you know, like.
Wait, Vault exiles their graveyard?
No, it exiles all non-land permanents. So you're diminishing their ability to delve afterwards, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I think this list is sweet. There are cards that are very bad in it, obviously, but like, as the metagame develops and this deck gets more cards, it only gets better.
I do like seeing, you know, some of the old plays that we used to do in Extended when you play fetch lands and you just use Urborg to tap them for black.
Yeah, man, I don't need these looted Eldas anymore.
Hey, these Temple of Deceits, they're really good just as black lands. If I need blue, I can always, you know, sack it away, but for now, it's just going to be a black land. The deck breaks down as such, 2 Pearl-like Agents, 4 Perilous Vault. I mean, 7 drops are not pretty, but at least this one has Flash.
It's a 9 drop. Oh, the Pearl-like Agent, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the prowess is kind of...
It's negligible, but the return ability is very real. You know, the fact of the matter is that when it gets to turn 22 in the game, your Pearl-like Agent is gonna get there.
Usually, yeah. He unfortunately did lose because he got both Pearl-like Agents stuck in his hand and had nothing else in his hand, and he was stuck at 6 mana.
That's not how you draw it up.
So, but he has 4 Boblites, 4 Dig Through Times, 3 Disdainful Stroke, 4 Dissolve, 4 Hero's Downfall, 4 Jace's Ingenuity, a Murderous Cut, a Silence of the Believers, and 2 Despise. Sideboard, Jurabai, Merc Lurker.
Yeah, this all is tech.
Them, bro.
Yeah, this is, I think Owen Curtinwald and then we're running this.
It's yeah, it gains lifelink. It's a 2/4. It blocks extremely well.
And it has a vagina mouth.
Sometimes you just need a turtle with a vagina mouth.
He has a Prognostic Sphinx in the sideboard, which, you know, I bet he wished he actually had in his hand instead of a Pearl-like Agent. Tuna Gate, a Farika's Cure. That's kind of spicy. I haven't seen a lot of that recently.
Oh, Farika's Cure is so good.
It is, but I just haven't seen a lot of
it. Well, we haven't seen as many of the Rabble decks recently, the super, you know, aggro, like, red decks. And this isn't what you want against the heroic decks, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was good against, in the mono black deck, and I got so used to saying it every week, and I just realized it's been a while since I've said it. 4 Drown in Sorrow and 3 Thought Seize to go on top of his Despise. You know,
yeah, you don't want Thought Seize in chain. You don't need to take a life when you don't have to.
Right. And, you know, when you go up against the control deck, you go, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take out the Despise and put in the Thought Seize. Because in that matchup, hey, that's too...
Life totals don't matter as much, and there are probably counter spells and planeswalkers you want to take, not creatures and planeswalkers, so...
And 8th place was Mardu Planeswalkers. Again, another different deck. And this dude was running all the planeswalkers. 2 Wingmate Rocks, 3 Brimaz, and then he goes 3 Chandra, 3 Elspeth, a Liliana, 2 Sarkon, 2 Sorin.
Wow.
And this is a control deck. At its
heart. Oh, for sure it's a control deck. He has End Hostilities and Anger of the Gods in the main. He has 6 board wipes in the main. I mean, it's board control.
Plus Mardu Charm, Crackling Doom, Hero's Downfall, plus the Thought Seize. Like, this is a control deck.
It's Planeswalker control. It's actually a very reasonable take on it, too. I love his creature package. He's very good at defending his Planeswalkers while putting, aggression back against them. So.
Yeah, the Wingmate Rock, it's not going to trigger Raid all that often, but it is a 3/4 flyer.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of ways for it to trigger Raid. You know, you got your Sorin, you got your Sarkon, you know, you got your Brimaz. There are ways.
There are ways. You got to work for it, though.
Yeah, you got to work.
This is much more similar to the week 1, week 2 Mardu decks we saw top 8ing. Yeah. Than we have of late. It's this kind of just throwback, but
just very strong sideboard of 2 Hushwing Grith, which I actually did see him bring in a lot. 2 Dark Betrayals, 2 Erase, 2 Mardu Charms, another Brimaz, a Johnny Steadfast, 2 Anger of the Gods, 2 Glare of Heresy, and a Thought Seize. Yes, I said a Johnny Steadfast.
If there was ever a deck that you could name it, it would be him. I mean, like, it's actually just really good in the against the control decks that you're boarded in. Like,
people have been arguing that you should even split your, like, and this is a legit argument I've heard lately, is that you should actually even split your Sorins with a Johnny, because even though Sorin gives you lifelink until the next turn, Johnny allows you to get it right away and still keep your creature on defense. So you don't have to wait and hope your opponent attacks to gain life, and, you know, they can still burn you out or whatever. They don't have to attack into you to give you the lifelink.
The utility of Sorin, though, is what makes it, you know, I you can make creatures.
Yeah, I think it's a, I'm not
for what the fuck
to be in there, but
what are you swearing about, Will?
I am cheating. I am looking at the Legacy coverage.
Oh yeah, Legacy was nuts this week. So that was the end of the top 8. The rest of it was a bunch of Mardu, a bunch of Abzan, a little bit of Burn. Look it up.
Take that.
Nothing too unique.
Yeah, it's nothing
not like
crazy.
Last week, though. So.
No 145th place deck that Ryan wants me to look at. So our legacy broke down as such. We have Brandon Hullings, 2-1 over Eric Carlson. Brad Nelson loses to Kazu Nagiri, 2-0. Jared Rice beats Jack Fogel, 2-1. And Rudy Brizka, 2-0 over Marshall Arthurs. And I guess, Rudy, he's a former podcaster.
Yeah, he is. He's a cool guy, man. We've mentioned that before on the show here. He's had some open success. So, yeah, good guy. I met him in Indy, shook his hand, he's a nice dude, so, yeah.
Cool. Glory Seekers, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was.
So Rudy Brizga beats Jared Rice 2-0, Kazu Nagiri beats Brandon Hollings 2-1, and Rudy Brizga 2-0 takes the song bitch down, son. With yep. some cool, the deck
this
list
is
a little
different. It's kind of different.
Spicy Stoneblade list, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was running the Jeskai Stoneblade. Also
yeah, he's
known
for this, though. He's kind of known in the Midwest region and stuff or whatever and throwing in like weird.
Two main deck counter spells.
Weird stuff,
pretty spicy cards.
We've been seeing that the last couple weeks, Angelo, haven't we?
It's just extremely good against Treasure Cruise.
Yeah, it's a nice early end.
Yeah. They're showing the wrong art when you scroll over it, but.
No, that's actually the good art. It just needs to be black ordered.
Yeah, it needs to be the Ice Age order.
Represent. I like the two dig through time, one treasure cruise split. I think that's pretty good for what he wants to do. You know, like he wants specific cards in this deck rather than just that, you know, lots of them. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just looking at the overall value of his cards, I think either one of them would be fine, but
I want dig in this deck, sure.
Okay.
He has main deck Pyroblast as well, you know, main deck Spell Pierce. He has a lot of cards that really devalue as the game goes on. So the ability to filter and then, you know, get the one treasure cruise off your dig through time and then get your hand size back up off that.
He kind of explained dig through time is just quality over quantity.
Which I've
said for a while. Plus it's
choice. I really like his core Firewalkers in the sideboard. I think that card is actually pretty sweet right now with the amount of mono red and Delver decks in the format.
It's worth noting that he's running his Counselor's Judgment main, which we've seen in the side quite a bit recently. It's just a good card.
It's a really sweet card if you're playing white. You just get to exile their shit and they can't do anything about it but make a misplay potentially.
Yeah, the deck breaks down as such. One Snapcaster, 4 Stoneforge. I mean, it's a Stoneforge deck. 2 True Name Nemesis, 2 Vidillion Clicks, 2 Jace the Mind Sculptor, 1 Batterskull, 1 Umazaz Jitte, those are your targets. 4 Brainstorm, 2 Counterspell, 2 Dig Through Time, 4 Force of Will, 3 Lightning Bolt, 2 Pyroblast, 2 Spell Pierce, 4 Swords to Plowshares, a Counselor's Judgment, and a Treasure Cruise. The Counterspells replace Daze in his list.
This is a seriously metagamed list.
Like, yes.
Main deck Pyroblasts, main deck Counterspells, he just knows what's going on in the format right now and doesn't want you to do it.
Did you mention the Jitte?
Yeah. Angelo very smartly listed both the tutor targets first.
Yeah.
Okay. Together. Yeah, because that was very good in the finals.
Wildstone! Go to hell.
Sideboard's pretty, you know, pretty cool stuff in there too. We got the 2 Containment Priest in there is pretty sweet as well.
Yeah, the reason to buy the new white commander deck.
You know, you got Grafdigger's Cage, Relic, you know, Baneslayer.
Baneslayer Angel? Well, you don't want to die to dragons.
What?
Man. Dude, it is the best blocker against the Gristlebrand you can possibly find.
Oh my god, if you use this to block a Gristlebrand, I will high-five you tell? For the rest of your entire life.
They play a show and tell and you put down a Baneslayer and they go Gristlebrand, they just look at you and go, fuck.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, Blood Moon is really sweet. You know, Fluster Form is really sweet. More Blasts of Blue and Red.
Yep.
Pyroclasm is a really hot card right now with all the tokens running around. It's just so good against Delver.
Yep, and Supreme Verdict
because countered. Sometimes you just fucking blow everything up.
Yeah. Things need to die. They need to die in a hurry. I'm just going to make them die.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Second place was Elves, which, you know, we've gone over it a bunch. And
I honestly think Elves might be the best deck in Legacy.
It's really good against the current build of Delver, because if they do not have, like, a Daze or a Force of Will on turn one, and you can just real quickly get a bit stupid by going, like, Quirion Ranger into Birchlore Ranger into, Nettle, or not Nettle Sentinel, but Heritage Druid, and you're just like, look, next turn, I'm going off.
I don't know, man. Rudy showed a lot of resiliency to that, though, in the finals.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rudy is not on a Delver list. He's on a Stoneblade list, which is a control as opposed to an aggro.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's true.
You know, I just think that if you wanted to take one deck right now and master it, Elves is probably the best bet for you. It is marginal enough that it doesn't get a whole lot of sideboard hate week in and week out, but it's among the most powerful strategies, has a great plan A and a great plan B. And a great plan C. Like, plan A is like, make a giant crater with behemoth and swing for a million. Plan B is like, you know, natural order out something fucking ridiculous. And then plan C is just beat you up with elves.
Yeah, go really
which works, you know?
And realistically, once you buy the cradles, this is a cheap deck.
It's a cheap deck after cradle.
Yeah, after
cradle. All things considered, it's a cheap deck for legacy.
Right, right.
What set was cradle from?
Urza's legacy? No, Urza's Saga.
Yeah.
There's a Saga. What's a box of that cost?
9,000 power.
Dude, that...
You can't even buy it with real money. You have to use gold or
something. Is a box of Urza's Saga really worth that much?
Yes. Urza's Saga was the most broken magic set of all time, Ryan.
Dogmoss Will.
It was the most broken set of magic of all time. Okay. The card Memory Jar was banned at the pre-release. Like, there was a message sent from DCI Floor Reporter to DCI head of whatever, ban this card now.
Oops, we screwed up.
So what else came in this set that was totally busted? Was the sneak and
attack was in the set? No, that actually was in sneak attack was in the one with the beaker.
Yeah,
the Erlenmeyer Blast. So we had like Yawgmoth's Will. We have Memory Jar, as I mentioned earlier, like absurd amounts of artifact mana. We had Grim Monolith, like
was that the original printing of LED?
No, LED is actually from Visions, and Grim Monolith is from Urza's, the one with the hammer. But like, Urza's block in general is just, it was a very dark time for Magic.
Very overpowered. If you were to buy a box of it, Ryan, you would-
Talarian Academy was in, oh my god, five lands! Like, guys, Cradle, there was a whole cycle of them.
Yeah.
They were stupid.
You get a box of this, and you're taking a step towards Legacy for real.
Sheesh.
Like, a box of this will get you a lot of the cards you need to start playing Legacy, but like Will said, a box of this is literally like stupid expensive.
So what's the set? Urza's Saga?
Yes.
Like any of the Urza's boxes. I think Urza's Destiny is probably the most expensive one, the middle one, but they're just, I mean, they gotta be five. It's like Modern Masters prices.
Yeah. Sure. Sideboard consisted of Pithing Needle, Reclamation Sage, Ooze, World Spire Worm, Sylvan Library, 3 Abrupt Decay, 1 Progenitus, 3 Cabal Therapy, 3 Thoughtseize. So that's playing, I saw plan D and plan E in there.
Yeah, I mean, like, just the, you know, you look at all these different natural order targets in the sideboard, like, sometimes you just, like, turn two or turn three a Progenitus, and that's all you need to do.
Or a World's Fire Worm, because if you kill it, I don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
Now kill three of them.
Yeah. I just think Elves is so powerful right now, and it's just not good enough, and not enough people are playing it for it to not get bans. Otherwise, it really could just get bans.
Yeah, I mean, like, this was the deck everyone was worried about when the Legend rule changed.
They should be. I think card availability is really hurting it.
It is.
So not to cut you off, but right now starting bid for Urza's Saga Korean, a box of Korean Urza's Saga is 1,000.
Yeah, the starting bid.
Yeah. That's Korean too.
Wait, here's an English one. Here's an English one, starting bid, or best offer, $1,480.
There you go.
But there's free shipping.
Oh, that's nice of them.
That's really nice.
So, Blue-Red Delver, I'm only going to go over one of these decks because they're all pretty much the same. There's only a couple cards different in each deck. Like, somebody might have a Jit Hair and they might not have a Forked Bolt. Or, you know, it's they're all very similar.
So the changes between, real quick, over the two is there's a Forked Bolt versus a Vapor Snag.
Okay. So we have 4 Delver, 4 Monastery Swift Sphere, 4 Young Pyromancer. That is the package that we've been seeing for a while now.
Yeah.
It's just effective. We have 4 Brainstorm, 4 Daze, 4 Force of Will, 4 Lightning Bolt, Bolt, a Pyroblast, a Vapor Snag, 2 Fork Bolts, a 4 Gataxian Probe, 4 Ponder, and 4 Treasure Cruise. Why is this deck so good? Because you can actually get like a turn 3/4 Treasure Cruise.
Yeah.
It's just that good, and then you go get 3 more Lightning Bolt and burn your face off.
Speaking of the burn your face off, the other deck also has 2 Price of Progress, which is one of my favorite cards of all time.
Yes, yes. Sneak and Show in 5th from Brad Nelson. We had a Mono Red Mog Catcher showing.
Oh my god, this deck is nuts!
Yeah, it's
different. Why does this keep showing up, Angelo?
Because it's
3 weeks in a row we've had to talk about.
I haven't seen this.
It's
this deck
heavy
is
mana denial. It's just
This we talked about 2 weeks ago. It was like a big surprise. I don't remember if it took down the, I don't know, it was
top 8. 10,
it did good. We've been talking about it every week since.
Deck doesn't run into any mono red decks, like, it's got it. Like, it's just gonna, you know, Magus of the Moon or Blood Moon you so early that
you also have Chalice of the Void and Trinisphere against the mono red decks. It's basically, if any of you old school legacy players remember Dragon Stompy, this is a Dragon Stompy shell, except instead of putting a bunch of rituals in your deck, you have this really sweet Mog Catcher Tutor engine, which is just really sexy and operates underneath all of your mana denial spells. It's just really clever.
Yeah, you can get away with playing things like Siege Gang Commander.
Siege Gang Commander has always been very good. You're playing a Goblin Rabble Master in Legacy. You know, you have Tutor up a fucking Tuk-Tuk Scrapper. You know, you have Kiki Jiki for value in this deck. Like, it's really sweet.
Running 4 Imperial Recruiters, because that card's real.
That card's super good.
Koth is a big finisher in this deck.
Yeah. Really sweet land package as well. He has the City of Traitors and the Ancient Tombs for all the 2-mana lands. You know, Cavern of Souls to make sure none of his goblins can be countered, or, you know, his mercenaries can't be countered of all. So sweet.
Yeah, boy.
I love this deck. I have a hard on. So sweet.
Sideboard is 3 Ensnaring Bridge, 2 Spellskite, 2 Sting Scourger,
4 Pyrokinesis.
Yes, Pyrokinesis.
Pretty good against elves.
Yes. Well, I mean, Chalice is good against elves too.
Oh yeah.
An Emrakul, a Jaya Ballard, and 2 Gemstone Caverns.
Spicy.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so.
No, I like, so you board like the Emrakul and Gemstone Caverns in against Show and Tell decks, so you get yourself that many more chances to see the Emrakul. You know, you get free mulligans.
It. See, Miracles in 7th, also known as Countertop, because it's Countertop. It is. Blue Red Delver in 8th. We had Sultai Delver, Blue White Delver, Blue Red Delver, Death and Taxes. I'm gonna see how many Death and Taxes is running of the new Containment Breach. Just 2.
Yep. 2 in the main.
Okay.
Very good card.
Well, I mean, like I said on Monday Night Magic last night, this deck was already really good against the Sneak and Show decks. So, like, I was like, how many do they really want to shove in there? And we never got quite to this point. And I wanted to see it, and they're running 2 of them.
It's also very good against the elf deck. You know, Green Sun Zenith.
It's good against a lot of decks. I mean, but, you know, that's the first one you think of, you know.
It's a really good hate bear.
Yeah. The thing with the Green Sun Zenith against the elves is typically they're wanting to go Green Sun Zenith turn 1 to get the land into play.
Well, that is one of their plays, but, I mean, they run 4 of it for a reason, you know.
Yeah, and Containment Priest is a little slow for that.
It can keep them off a tutored up Heritage Druid, which can break some, you know. I mean, I think it does give you interaction, which is better than a lot of other cards that would be in that slot.
Yep. 13th, we had Pox. And this is the Pox list that runs, it's mono black. It's the Crucible of Worlds Wasteland with Nether Spirit. And it's not running Rax. And I did not see a Chains of Metastopheles to shut down, the Brainstorms, but he is running 4 Leyline of the Void. Thank you for somebody for listening to me about how bad that destroys Treasure Cruises.
It makes it very hard to do things.
Yeah, I like this deck.
It also has Splash Dredge Hate, Splash other things. It's just a fine card. Like, really, really cool deck. I love Nether Spirit. I think Nether Spirit decks are really sweet. He also has Mishra's Factory and Curse Scroll to just get incremental, you know, points here and there. Like, gonna just shut you out of the game, keep you off your lands.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of this style of deck where I can just say, you know what, you can have all the cards I'm gonna take your cards and I'm going to take your cards and your lands. And if you do get something to stick, then that might be my downfall, but I do have smallpox. So you got to get five things to stick.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy also has four innocent bloods, which is just like better than Swords and Plowshares when you don't have anything but another spirit.
Right. Right. Can I ask why they don't print Damnation anymore? God damn.
Because it is not, I mean, it's just so good. You know, it got printed once. I have a really sweet Japanese foil version of this.
How is that any better, like, than Wrath of God? I mean,
it is Wrath of God.
It is Wrath of God.
Chaos set where.
But it's not supposed to be a black card.
Yeah. Where they was changing the colors of other cards.
Planar Chaos was a really cool set.
Yeah, really weird.
It fucked with the color pie. That was the whole idea.
Right, right. I mean, Timbermare was basically what was the original mare. Thundermare.
Yeah.
And it was like,
They made a green ball lightning. They made ground break. Yeah, ground break. They made a brute force was a red giant growth. You
know? A white force spike.
Right. Yeah, and you know what though? It turns out that card's really good. I didn't get to talk about it while we were talking about Death and Taxes, but he had three judges familiar in the main, which is just really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little different.
Like when you're trying to build up for Treasure Cruise and all that stuff, like you're trying to get this high density of spells early and you can really force by guys is good.
It's a little scary when you think that he's actually got Trinisphere in the sideboard of this deck when you're already gonna deny mana.
Right. Well, he wants to be able to cast all his discard spells first.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it really depends on your line of play. Like if you can get the turn one or, the turn one swamp into, him into Sinkhole, like that's really good, man.
I've heard that's a winning strategy.
And then you just, you have one mana left over that you can play, a Cursed Scroll with, and you just go, all right, I think I'm in a good spot now, and I don't necessarily, then I want to play my Trinisphere so I can
I just think that, it's not that great against everything in the field, as much as it used to be.
No, but with Blue Red Delver making its comeuppance and, they're all running 4/4s.
Yeah, and they're real tight on mana. They usually run 18 or less lands, so.
Yeah, I'm glad to see a, Pox list make it. I've just been a fan of Pox for so long.
Not only am I a fan of Pox, but just a lot of the cards he has are just, real flashbacks from good quality cards from the past that dominated standard environments that just aren't getting love in Legacy. You can innovate. You absolutely can.
Notably, there's no Rack and there's no Waste Not in here. Just,
Yeah,
but those are different forms of the deck.
The issues with those things is they kind of peter out in the late game, whereas he has the Cursed Scroll, which only gains value.
Yeah, well, Waste Not doesn't necessarily peter out, but it's more of a math condition. Like, I'm counting all the time, and there's all these triggers that I have to pay attention to, where this is just so much cleaner, you're not going to miss triggers, and the Rack...
They also eventually go Hellbent, which makes the Waste Not a bit of an issue.
Right, but the Rack is the counterbalance to the Waste Not, where it goes, okay, now you're Hellbent, I don't care, you're taking three of your turn.
Right.
It's a lightning bolt every turn, so which one are you gonna deal with?
You can even run the second Rack, the black one, whatever it's called.
Right, right. And we usually don't talk Modern, guys, and we're not gonna talk too much about it today, but I do want to point out that a Jeskai Ascendancy deck, which everybody said should be banned and everything else, finished in second place for the first time since all these tournaments started with the Modern IQs, finally had a placing of note. And it was second place by Robert Graves, and it ended up losing to Blue Red Delver, because Blue Red Delver is basically the same deck I talked about earlier without the big power cards.
It's a very good deck. It actually, it really doesn't lose a whole lot. The only thing it doesn't have is like
Brainstorm. Well, and it still gained Treasure Cruise.
You're not losing a whole lot on the Brainstorm. Serum Visions isn't terrible as a replacement.
No, it's not, but it's not Brainstorm either.
No, it's not. Nothing will ever be Brainstorm again.
But
you have Thought Scour, which just makes your Treasure Cruise better.
Right, absolutely does. But they're very similar decks. They play exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Lots of blue-red in this top 8. The only non-blue decks are a red-green Urzatron and a mono-red Burn. So.
Yep. Treasure Cruise, Angelo, ban it.
I honestly think Treasure Cruise should be banned in Modern.
Oh no.
You missed the show.
I went bonkers about this, man.
So I'm kind of leaning, starting to go kind of Will's direction on that, man.
Adapt and overcome. Every answer that Legacy has to deal with Treasure Cruise, guess what? Modern has the exact same ones. You can't play Leyline of the Void.
No, I'm not saying that you can't play around it. What I'm saying is that it creates an inbred format where people don't want to play around it because it's the most powerful thing. They'd rather be playing it. And I mean, I just think it creates an unhealthy Magic format. Like,
well, that's the fault of the players and not the fault of the format.
While I don't disagree, and it's very early to call for a banning, I think the card is way overpowered for Modern. I think that if Ancestral Visions is banned, which is not anywhere fucking close to as good as Treasure Cruise, like they should put Treasure Cruise on the ban list and put Ancestral Visions back in.
Yeah, I've heard more people say that it should be banned than it shouldn't.
I mean, it doesn't matter what people say, and we're going to need to look at statistics over the course of a three-month to a year period, but I honestly think that it creates, I mean, you guys talk about this, we don't need to.
I mean, look, if you're in white, you do have access to cards.
There are cards that absolutely hose it, but like.
Yeah, in every color. I mean, and like, I even said it on, I know somebody, if you're in blue, what is funner to do to a Treasure Cruise than play Remand?
Okay, but you're then asking the entire format to be warped because of a card. You're saying that every single deck needs to just have answers to Treasure Cruise, and that sounds like a problem to me.
Well, here's where I fall on it.
That sounds like back in the day with Dredge, where if you don't have Dredge hate somewhere in your 75, you're just going to lose to it.
Here's where I fall on this, Will. In Legacy, once it was getting to where it had a big enough card pool that it's like, holy shit, this card pool is huge, and Modern's beginning to get there. There was a degenerate format for a while that had to be worked out. And rather than just saying Wizards do the work for me, I feel like you can build other decks that will beat this strategy. You just, you know, some of the old decks don't necessarily work as well anymore. It's not, I don't think it necessarily completely warps the format. It just feels like the decks, because in a response, it does kind of warp it to the point where it's like, okay, these decks aren't viable anymore. We have to build in a different direction.
Well, I mean, if you're asking every deck in the field to absolutely have to have answers to it, I think that that's starting to warp. I don't know that we're there yet. We haven't seen any real Modern events. These IQs on the side are not a real big deal, and Magic Online is also not a real big deal, but I do think that they should watch the card very close, and I think it's very odd that Treasure Cruise is in the format and Ancestral Visions is not.
So do I. I did bring that up. I just think less things should be banned in general in this format. This is a format that just seems to knee-jerk ban things, and I don't necessarily think that's good.
No, that is not. You are correct.
So that's kind of, you know, and I did see on PAX Australia, they finally put up the video from the Q&A with, I believe it was Forsyth, and they one of the people just flat out asked him if he was going to ban it, and they said they are watching the Cons of Tarkir cards, because they actually asked him if they were going to ban the entire set of Cons of Tarkir, and he laughed and said, you know, we are watching it, we are going to pay attention to it, but until at least the next Pro Tour, there's no bans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you need to let it happen, but you really need to watch it. This like the power level of the card is much higher than what they want Modern to be.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I feel like it's still a turn three or four card, and I, you know.
How is turn three or four draw three cards?
It's turn four, actually, in Modern. It's turn three in Legacy.
That's so good. That's so good.
When Mono Resurrects is passing through.
No, it's on turn four, though. It's only going to cost you one mana. That's the thing that you're not.
That's the thing. And
it's not like you're casting it for four mana.
No.
When Mono Red Decks, I find it funny when Mono Red Decks are splashing blue just
absolutely.
Four of them.
That's when you know you have a problem.
Yeah, but realistically, I mean, they're splashing blue just for the four of them, but they're also splashing blue for Delver, which Delver works
talking about Mono Red Burn.
No Delvers, Monastery, Swift Spears, Goblin Guides. I know the exact list he's talking about. Really sweet list.
Four of them.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not ready to say ban this.
I'm not ready to say it yet, but I'm strongly favoring that it takes the place of Ancestral Visions on the ban list.
If they made that switch, I wouldn't argue with it. But I also don't want to see like the one form of draw cards that's in the format now just get banned to where there's none. Give me something.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to have, I understand that they're trying to promote like a real control deck in Modern, and you need a mid to late game draw engine to do that, but Treasure Cruise is not a mid to late game draw engine.
No, we'll move on though, because this is an argument that's just going to go on all night. Although we are very similar in our feelings.
Yeah, I don't think we were arguing.
Who loves Vancouver? It's a beautiful town.
Yeah, Vancouver's a cool looking city, man. Yeah, like.
No, Vancouver is great. Like, I mean, it is beautiful in the summer. In the winter,
how about
hell.
Canucks, huh?
Yeah.
No, it actually has pretty mild winters. It has.
Really?
Yeah, it's on the Puget Sound. It's on the top.
Oh, that is right. That is right.
It gets the, Seattle, but you're only like 2 hours or 3 hours away from Whistler in BC, which is one of the sickest mountains in America or in Canada. Whatever, North America?
Harry's North called. America.
America. Yeah, we got that one too.
Yeah, and a little bit south, you can get the whole Mount St. Helens with the big half of the fucking mountain gone. but anyway, if you would like to go there, there's a way you can earn a plane ticket, but you have to go through a pre-TQ to do that first. So they have announced the locations, and look, I mean, I'm not going to go over all these. There's
there
a fuck ton
of them.
I mean, it's every PTQ out there.
I just looked for our local area and
you have to go way to the bottom.
Yeah, but there are 4 straight weeks of PTQs.
Yes, there are.
Within a 2-hour drive of Pittsburgh.
Most of them are standard though.
Yeah, I realize that, but I mean, if I'm going to build
Angelo,
a standard deck,
Mardu it up.
Yeah, man, 4 weeks in a row, you should be pretty good at it by the end, you know?
So, right. We're talking about Mardu.
I'm talking about Mardu. Mardu!
I'm
Mardu!
Try to explain people how to get to this because this thing is buried in the wizard site. But you know, we're competitive players and you know, we probably want to find this page. So what you have to do is you actually have to go to events. You have to go to event types. Then from event types, you have to go down to, Pro Tour qualifiers. And then through there, you have to go to a PPTQ page that actually shows you the entire schedule.
Thanks, wizards.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been on the main article page, at least for a day. No, they've had to bury the fucking thing. But yeah, you can look and you can find out what's up in your area, and people want to go to PTQs, so, stuff.
Wait, there's a place called Dominaria?
That was the original plane of magic, Ryan. Are you
it's
serious?
It's a venue name. It's the name of a venue. That's funny.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not the name of a place. Well, it's the name of a place somewhere, but.
It's a card shop.
It's
man.
The original. Yeah.
I mean, it's a card shop. They're going to name awesome. It whatever they want. Like Yoshi Comics.
It's probably a very old school card shop, though.
Probably. It's a good name for a card shop, actually.
Yeah.
Golf clap for you. So aside from that, there was a bunch of non-competitive news things that came out, like the Christmas boxes coming out too.
Come on, man.
Those are sweet.
Yeah, they are. They're cool. And there's, you know, the Commander decks just, you know, came out last week and you should probably pick up red or white. Stay away from green. Just honest. And, you know, but aside from that, there's really nothing that really hits us all that well. I do have some announcements about the show that I want to make about what's going to happen at episode 100. But is there anything that you guys want to talk about magic related that we haven't already gone over in the show or haven't recently?
To be honest, I haven't had a whole lot of time to think about magic lately.
Fair enough. Ryan, is there anything that you know of magic related that you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, cool. So here's the deal. I have nothing extra I want to talk about really about magic. So we do have some changes coming to the show after episode 100. We kind of leaked a few of them earlier, but here's the crux of them. First off, and this is the big one. After episode 100, it will be 2 weeks to a month before episode 101 comes out. I have done this show, straight for 100 episodes minus one.
Vacation.
And yeah, I just need to, you know, regroup, go play some more magic and just, you know, kind of enjoy myself for a little bit. So I'm going to take a little bit of time off and, you know, hey, you know what? It's going to be probably Christmas, New Year's area anyway. So there isn't going to be that much stuff for us to talk about during that period of time. There usually isn't. So. When the new set comes out, yes, we'll definitely be back to start going over some of the spoilers and things like that. But realistically, we're going to take a few weeks off and just try to enjoy ourselves and have some good family time and things like that. Another one of the changes that is going to come to the show is I am going to release a huge list of brand new sponsors to the show, which may or may not be real. You'll understand when you hear them. What it's basically going to be is, we're going to be doing some, we're going to try to add a little bit of comedy to the cast and we're going to take little breaks and we're going to add little commercials that we make. We're going to try and make them funny. Some of them will be, some of them won't be, who knows? Along with that, I'm also going to have the Music Minute every show where randomly during the middle of the show, we're just going to play a song. And it's going to be a break for like me and Will and, you know, if Ryan's around to go to the bathroom. And just do some things. We're going to take a break in the middle of the show so we're not sitting here grinding out 4 hours straight. And by the end of it, you know, we can't even think anymore. Also, we're going to go ahead and, another one of the changes is the only weeks we are going to cover SCG events is going to be the weeks that there are no GPs. The reason for this is when there's two GPs in an SCG event, that's like 2 hours of show right there. And again, I don't want to be sitting here for 3 hours every week talking about stuff. Like I don't mind it for a Pro Tour, but when it's like, we're going to go over these two standard GPs plus the SCG standard. And it's like, we just wasted an hour and a half on three standard tours.
Yeah. That were all the same.
So
it's just about giving you a higher quality of coverage so you can go listen to podcasts that are better than ours.
Well, no one cares about when there's GPs. No one wants to hear about the SCG opens.
No, not really.
That's kind of how I feel as well. We will touch on it once in a while and we will try and keep an eye towards the race a little bit. Especially plus coming into the IQs.
Any hot tech that drops too.
Right, right. If a new deck pops at an SCG and takes down a tournament like what happened last week, yeah, we're absolutely going to, you know, at least let you know about that and go over that deck, but we're not going to break down the tournaments like we have been. It's just too time consuming and kind of redundant, to be honest. Also, another, you know, fairly small change that a lot of you guys might notice, might not notice, is just the pure production quality of the show. And this is going to be a lot of extra work for me because I'm really going to take the editing far more serious. I've gotten a little lax at it because, well, you know, to be honest, as much as I love the show, it's gotten to the point now where it's not as fun.
A little burnout.
I'm a little burnout. That's the best way of putting it. This is part of the reason I'm taking time off.
You need this month vacation.
Yeah. And the month vacation thing is something that's going to happen every year. We're going to take a break.
It needs to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, but the production value overall of this show should go up. It should sound better. It should be more, it should feel more like a show to you. Because what we're going to try and do, you know, with all these little commercials and breaks, I've come to notice, and I know Ryan listens to a lot of podcasts. He can probably back me up on this, is when you listen to a really long podcast and there's no breaks and it's just, you know, one thing after another of just constant barrage of information. Well, it's real easy in hour two to forget something that was said in hour one.
Where you talk about it all over again.
Right. Well, not even that. As a listener. You know, when you're like, oh, what did he say about that? And then you got to go back and you got to check it again. And, you know, hey, you shouldn't have to do that. The one thing I've noticed is if you can put in a little break here and there during the show, okay, say we go over the GP and then one of the commercials pop up, okay?
It allows your brain to process the show.
Yeah, while the stupid commercial's going on, you can process that information and really, like, let it sink in. And then the commercial ends and then you're ready for the next piece of information that we give you.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons, honestly, that we try to keep Cast from Exile around an hour is just because I listen to so many podcasts and around – I love Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool and all those. But come hour two and a half, two, you know, it's just – starts to sound exactly like the first hour.
it all blends together.
I mean, yeah, it starts to kind of blend together. And
anybody who's ever listened to Marshall's set reviews where he does the whole show and it's like 5-6 hours just to do the commons and uncommons, I don't know anybody who sits there and listens to it the whole way through. Like, I know I go through like the first color and then I stop it for an hour. And then I come back to it and I listen to the next color and I stop it because I do want to let some of what they say sink in. And that's kind of why we're adding those in there. And I do think it's going to help the production value of the show in general. So I hope you people will enjoy that. To me, it's going to be exciting. We're also going to have a topic every week. A lot of these are just going to be pissing matches between me and Will. We're just going to argue with each other about something, but we're going to just, you know, try and bring you something every week because originally when we sat down and we said, what's this show going to be?
We wanted content, not just tournament results.
Yeah, it was like tournament and then real big with a star was topic. And before I knew it, the expansion of major tournaments has made it.
Since we have started this show, the amount of tournaments has tripled.
Yeah, it's just made it impossible to bring you that topic every week. Because I have people who ask me all the time, you know, hey, can you guys go over mana bases again? And it's like, I'd love to, but I realistically don't have the time in a show.
I love right to talk about intangibles in the game and other, and you know, aspects and, you know, strategy, skills, all that stuff. You know, I think that's something that we should be giving to our listeners.
Yeah, I can only agree with that 100%. So these are some of the changes you can look forward to. There will probably be others as I think them up, but in general, what I'm trying to do is bring a better show to you. And at the same time, make it funner for me. It's become Monday Night Magic with swearing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I love everyone who listens to it.
That's not
how
we want to be.
Yeah, I love everyone who listens to the show, and I'm happy that you listen to the show. It's great to me. And I know that our group is growing, so our numbers are growing, and, you know, the Twitter followers are growing, so the numbers are growing. I know that, and that's great that you guys listen, but I'm going to be bringing you a better show. So, you know, bear with me these last 5 weeks, and then we're going to take the break, and all of a sudden you're going to be like, holy hell, this is not the show we've been listening to. I plan on this being unlike any Magic podcast that you listen to when it's done. I think it's going to be really cool. We're also, if we are doing a show like this, we're going to be bringing on guests instead of them coming on and doing entire shows with us. It's going to be more like if you was an original listener.
Yeah, like the original interviews we were doing.
Yeah, we were just bringing guys on, doing interviews with them. You know, we would do these interviews on random days. We'd sit down, we'd do the interviews with the guest, and then it would be, you know, 20 minutes to half an hour, and that would be it. I don't necessarily think that I need, you know, and no offense to, you know, the artist, but I don't need an artist sitting in while we're trying to go over, you know, tournament results. Because realistically, they don't have the most to offer to what's actually going on because their focus on the game is in a different realm.
Right.
So
ultimately, I think that'll get better quality from our guests as well. And, you know, having to isolate them and talk to them about what they want to talk to them, you know, about rather than just, you know, trying to, you know, chime in on our thing.
Yeah. So. Not even that. The fact that I can call a guest and go, dude, it's a half an hour tops.
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah, you might be here for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that is a huge difference as far as, you know, getting a guest and saying it could go 3 hours long, but typically it's an hour and a half to two.
Right.
Or you say half hour. We got like 10 questions for you and, you know, we're going to bounce some things off you, try and have a good conversation. And after half an hour, you're free to go. It'll be so much easier for us to get guests. So I expect to actually have more when we do have guests. That'll typically replace the topic of it. But I think, you know,
that's a fine topic for the week.
Yeah. If, you know, we have a Pro Tour player on, I think that's a pretty good topic, us picking their brain. I hope everybody is, looking forward to this as much as I am. I mean, I've been building commercials like crazy. And strangely, I can actually do voices of a lot of people. So. Yeah, I mean, some of them are funny. I don't know. Some of them are duds, to be honest, but I don't necessarily have to use them. And I already have a list of music that I'm going to be playing for you guys. I truly, truly hope you guys are going to enjoy this as much as I am. Aside from that, what the hell's been going on? Well, Will, you ain't been here in a while, so people want to know. What's up, man?
Well, to be honest, I've kind of been, having some troubles with my personal life. You know, had this really solid foundation relationship with my girlfriend get, you know, thrown into some real upheaval and, you know, that's a real big part of my life, so I, you know, really focused on it. I think we're getting through it. I think that, that Liz and I are on our way to, you know, to getting back to normal, which is good. You know, in the meantime, I've also done a lot of getting my life together. I bought a car. I got a 2003 Subaru Legacy for $2,200, which is just a great price. And,
I know you're a fan of the Subarus too.
Yeah. Working on getting a job here. I got an application down in at a pretty reasonable restaurant. Just won a couple awards, you know, best new restaurant in Beaver County. So gonna hopefully get a job down there. And then I got this back burner plan. In about a month, I'm gonna start working in the beer store right in front of my house, which is just a dream come true.
It's an easy commute to work.
Yeah,
you ain't
right?
Got to worry about a DUI coming home.
No problem. You know, in my spare time recently, I bought a weight bench.
Sweet.
And Olympic, yes.
Or
no, it's a normal bar.
Okay,
a cool. Standard bar. Yeah, it's real similar to yours. But I have 150 pounds in weight, a bar, two dumbbells, and you know, I'm on week two of my routine now, so I'm, you know, I'm really starting to feel it again, and I just, you know, forget how much I missed this. I was dealing with some sadness in my life, and I, you know, I just had to think about Tornado Shanks, and it just says, you know, when your pecs are hard, you can't get no grief at your heart. You know, you gotta have nice firm pecs so you can't feel no badness.
Well,
so,
there is a real truth to when you work out and eat right. The general things don't get to you as much. You just feel better in general, which makes everything a little bit better. So I'm glad to hear that you're hitting the weights again.
It really is balancing. I mean, it's very good for me. You know, when I lift, I really pull into myself and I feel, you know, I learn about myself each time. So I'm really glad that I'm doing it again.
Yeah. It gives you a place to really let out all of your aggressions.
Yeah.
And you know, it really gives you something to focus on at the same time. And it's like, I'm getting out my aggressions. I'm focusing. And the rest of the day, you know what? I can do other things, and yeah, things don't bother you as much when you're lifting.
Yeah, you can pretty much float.
So I work out, so I'm glad to hear you're back to that.
Yeah, I'm super pumped about it. I thank you for all the concern of the listeners and you two guys. You know, I'm sorry I just kind of fell off the radar, but I just really had to try and put my life back together. So
I've been there. I understand it. You know, you could have took another 2-3 weeks off. I wouldn't care.
Well, you know, I mean, things are getting back to normal. So I'm very optimistic about the future again, which is great. You know, I couldn't have said that 2 weeks ago.
Hooray, Will.
Yeah. So what have you been up to, Ange?
Well, I'm gonna let Ryan go. What you been up to, brother?
Not a whole bunch, man. Celebrated my birthday.
Happy fucking birthday, man!
Yeah, I've been dying for these stories. I mean, it was birthday stories. I want some stories.
Dude, if I could remember.
That is the best story right there, if I can remember.
got extremely wasted, that's for sure. And then Sunday night was chill though, man. Just went out to eat with some family and stuff, but. Yeah, man, just been doing that. Megan hooked it up with the gifts, so can't complain.
Sweet, sweet.
Yeah, we had a roommate years ago that had Skyrim, right?
Yeah,
and that's like my favorite video game of all time. So Megan went out and got me a PlayStation for my birthday.
Oh wow.
Just to get you Skyrim.
Yeah. Awesome. And the new Madden game.
Oh, wait.
Which, goddamn, man, his fucking video game football evolved. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah, it's
fucking complex.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the next time the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to hire a head coach, they're just going to have a Madden tournament.
You know what? They might get better results that way.
Hey, man, you know, it works with Gran Turismo and race car drivers these days.
You really got to read. I mean, there's some scheme to it. She got me this book for it, right, for Madden. It had a, you know, shit. The game's crazy. Most of the stuff I already know because I played, I don't know, I was still on this show before. I played quarterback in high school. I know how to read a deep, you know, cover two, cover
sure,
threes,
sure,
you know, that
sure.
sort of thing anyways. But that's a real part of this game that was never, having to read the defense was never a thing in Madden in the past, man. When I used to play, like,
oh,
I don't
yeah,
know,
you know the,
play Madden, but.
The checks at the line are a very real thing. You know, it's a very complex game and the physics engines in it are just so.
Yeah, I find myself changing the routes, the receivers, the whole bunch based on coverage, and it's crazy. So that's been fucking fun. And dude, I don't know, I'm trying not to get addicted to Skyrim, so I just don't
you
play
should
it.
Try to get addicted to Skyrim.
I mean, you know what, I gave it up. And
well, I had to because the roommate we had, I caught getting delivered mass quantities of marijuana to the house through the U.S. Postal Service.
That's not what you want your roommate to do.
No.
Not when we have teacher certificates on the line in the house and could lose.
You can't do that. That's absurd.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm all for, you know, I'm obviously pro-marijuana myself, but we're talking
you don't
like,
fucking UPS ship it. God damn.
I answered the fucking door one day. Just the postman with this giant box and the dude had been, this is a good buddy of mine. I haven't really talked to him since this, but you know, he came onto some hard times, letting him live in my basement and shit, right? I got a pretty sweet, like, furnished basement, got a bathroom and shit down there with a shower and everything people need. Said, I've let people crash me. I let, like, a homeless girlfriend of ours stay there for a while. This dude got evicted and shit. So I was letting him stay with us and he was getting these like fucking packages from Colorado a lot, man. And I knew my other buddy, a guy that I sometimes go through, won't say his name on the cast, obviously. I knew cause I had gotten some stuff from him recently and I was like, man, where are you? This is, you know, it's different from shit I've been seeing around here or whatever. whatever. And he told me he was getting this stuff from Colorado. He's like, oh, I get it from some dude in Colorado or whatever. Well, I'm not an idiot. He's also friends with my roommate. And I noticed my roommate's getting all these packages from fucking Colorado, right? And, so I'm home one day for lunch and the mailman comes and it's another fucking package from Colorado. So I'm like, dude, what is going on? Like, you need to open this shit. And he opened it and it was,
a felonious amount.
It was at least, it was 2 pounds. It was
That's a felonious amount.
A felonious amount. That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
felonious amount. That's all we need to know.
And it wasn't even, it had a pair of jeans folded up over the top of it. And then it was stuffed inside it. You know, those big bags that come full of miniature bags of chips.
Yeah, buddy.
Like variety packs or whatever.
Yeah, those things are awesome.
It was inside of a giant air sealed, air vac package inside of this empty bag that had a bunch of chips in it.
Boy, I sure do hope no one for the United States Postal Service is listening to this cast.
Crazy, right? So.
Well, you kicked him out. That's good. These are no longer coming to your house. So the Postal Service does not need to look at it.
This was like 2 years ago or something, man. This was a long time ago.
Hello, NSA.
And he was gone that day because I when it comes to Megan, man, I'm fucking protective, dude. I know we live a crazy lifestyle and, you know, I'm open to sharing and whatnot, but that don't mean I'm not fucking protective of my girl and I will whoop your fucking ass. And, you don't put my fucking, you know, my woman in it, you know, everything she went to school for and accomplished on the line like that. It was disrespect to the 10th degree and he got the fucking boot, like straight up. He's lucky he didn't get the ass whooping. He just got the boot to the curb.
Get out of my house and keep it locked.
Well, what happened to it is irrelevant. I never said that he left with the property. Who you think you're talking to, Will?
Ah, you know. I thought you maybe were a nice guy.
Oh, man. No. No, are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely not, bro. Yeah, so he, anyways, I don't know. Long story short, though, he had Skyrim, and so I was a big fan of it, so. Megan, hook it up.
That's sweet. I walked away from that game after probably 900 hours of play. Yeah, you can lose yourself in that.
Dude, it's hard, man. So, like, I kill somebody, right? I didn't know fucking killing people has, like, real consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't want to kill people in towns. Don't want to kill people in general.
You never know if you're going to need him for a mission or something. Like, I had a mission or something. It's like, oh, that dude's like, fucking whack that guy.
Like, damn it, I needed this, dude.
Can't do that. Yeah, it's crazy as fun, though. But, yeah, no, I've been playing a share of Madden, too. But I just, man, I can't believe how fucking far a football game's gone. It's crazy.
Yeah, the last 5 years, the football games have gotten much better. I go through a cycle of sports games where I'll buy, like, a football game, a baseball game, a hockey game. And it takes about 5 years to get through it. And the 5 year cycle that I've last gone through, I bought NCAA, about 5 years ago, which is just the Madden for NCAA, but it doesn't have Madden's name attached to it.
Still,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Same physics.
Absolutely. It just doesn't have John Madden's name attached to it. So I don't, that's why I don't buy Madden. And I got the new NCAA last year and I was floored by it. I was like, wow, it's gotten so much better. Like, so yeah, I mean, it has gotten better. You got your break coming up, so you'll have time to play video games.
Yeah, I get a fucking nice break at work. I'm looking forward to, so. And, just, you know, dealing with the boys over at Cast from Exile, man. Come check us out. Support us there too. It's by the posse for the posse. So, looking to get posse members and shit on there, things like that. Just shoot me messages. We're going to start on that soon. So yeah, getting the posse out there. We want to know what makes you guys tick and, you know, how you came to be in this fucked up family.
Yeah, buddy. So, I've had a rather eventful week. So we finished the cast last Tuesday, right? And
Tuesday.
Yeah, last Tuesday. And I went ahead and I went to work the next morning. And as I was early in the day tarping my truck, I was doing this by myself, which required me to actually jump on top of the truck.
Wait, what are you fucking, what does tarping a truck mean?
So it's a 3-ton dump truck. So
5-ton?
Yours is a 5-ton, sorry. Yeah. So you have stuff in the back, you have mulch or leaves or tools, whatever. They
yeah.
have nice tarps that you bungee cord down around to keep everything in.
Yeah, so when you're driving down the road, you're not spraying the people driving around you with materials or possibly breaking windshields and breaking laws.
If it's a really nice truck, they'll have a tarp that winches up, you know, at the front of the bed and you can just pull them down.
Yeah, you can have the roll-ups, but he's not invested in those, although...
But your boss is a cheap ass?
No, he is not that. No, he is absolutely not that. We've talked about it so many times, but the thing is, it seems like once we start moving, we never stop until winter, and there's never really a good time to go have it done, because you got to take each truck in, let them put it on, and then take the truck back. Well, we need the truck to go do jobs.
Right.
So we've fallen into this thing where it's like, well, we want to get this done, but damn it, the season's gone past. Now he's talking about doing it this winter because, you know, he doesn't want something like this happening again. What happened was, as I was getting off of the truck, or I was going down towards the edge of the truck to jump down from the edge, I slipped on some mulch.
Oh no. Which truck was it?
My big red dump.
Oh, it just caught like on the bottom of the body there.
What kind of mulch are we talking? Are we talking wet mulch?
Dry mulch? We're just talking mulch. It's just
general mulch.
Yeah, just mulch. But I slipped a little bit on it and I started falling.
Oh god.
Through the ground. I was probably up in the air 8 to 10 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That's a long
four feet off the ground at your feet, at least.
Yeah, that's with the gate down, and I was above, the gate was up, so.
Oh my god, you were so high up there.
Dude. Right, so I went to catch myself, and when I went to catch myself, my hand just, I had too much momentum going already, and my hand could not, stop me, so it snapped it.
That had to hurt.
It hurt. Dude, I leaned up against the building crying like a 8-year-old girl who just had her fucking Barbie doll taken.
That's even worse.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was bad, dude. Like, I mean, the guys come around the corner, one of the other crews, they come around the corner and they saw me leaning up and they're like, what, you okay? I'm like, it's broke.
It's broken.
and they called my boss over from the office because, you know, there's actually a lot of room where I work and the office, it's actually quicker to drive. So he jumps in his truck, he flies over and he grabs and he takes me directly up to the hospital.
Did you go to Elwood?
No, went to the medical center. They saw me right away. There was nobody in the ER when I walked.
Nice.
I got seen right away. Everything got taken care of. Took x-rays and everything, you know, gave me the prognostic and all that crap. And the lady was like, I'm going to give you 3 days off and then I'm going to put you on for light duty. And I looked at her and I said, no. And she went, what do you mean? Yeah. I was like, I don't want to be a dick, but, I can't afford to take 3 days off. If I take 3 days off, they're going to repo my car. Or I'm going to have my electricity shut off. Or I'm not going to make a house payment. Like, I can't afford 3 days off. That's just the way it is. Like, you're not giving me 3 days off. And she understood that, and she put me on light duty. Did the follow-up appointment this week with the workers' comp doctor.
Yeah.
And he said, keep it wrapped. Try not to work it too hard, but I'm releasing you to full duty.
Are you guys doing cleanups now? Or are you guys doing
that? No, today we put down 29,000 square feet of sod.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of sod.
Yeah.
Coming in rolls or tiles?
Tiles.
Oh Jesus, that's a lot of sod.
Yeah, 9 guys. It was like 20, I want to say it was like 27 pallets.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking sod, bro.
Yeah, we had a tractor trailer drop.
Man, I don't know why you didn't get the fucking rolls.
Well, it was because of where it was at.
Okay.
And the way that we would have had to put it in, it would have been easier to go ahead and do it with the, you know. Yeah. Like, if you're doing a big wide open area, the rolls are great.
Yeah, if you're, I mean, I'm not looking at the yard you are.
So. Yeah, but if you're doing around a house.
Yeah. Oh, that's no good.
It's just no good. So, like, you know, the boss was cool. He gave me a hatchet and he said, you're just going to make the cuts today.
Sweet.
So I just walked around with a hatchet making all the cuts and the saw and pieces.
I love making cuts too. That's fun.
So I was like, okay, that's cool, but, so the broken hand thing happened, and that's great. So one of the side effects of the broken hand is I got banned from Family Dollar.
What?
Oh, no.
So I go walking into Family Dollar, right? I go walking in the door that says in, and I walk past this lady, and she goes out the door that I was going in, but I didn't hold the door for her. One, because I had a broken hand. Two, because it was the door that says in!
The in door.
And she turns, looks at the lady behind the counter, and goes, oh, what a gentleman. Just like that. Okay. This is one of those moments where Angelo comes out.
Angelo does not use discretion here.
I turn around and I go, what the fuck did you just say? And she says, a real gentleman would have held a door. I said, okay, before you start schooling me in public decorum, let me first start by saying that, one, I have a broken fucking hand and couldn't hold the door. Two, you know, I pulled the hand out of the jacket so she could see it. I was like, two, if you understood public decorum any bit, you would have went out the door that said out. And if you, for some reason, can't read, it's the one that starts with an O. It's a big circle. It's not the line. It's the circle. She goes, well, you don't have to sit there and be an asshole. I was like, well, you didn't have to turn around and be a dumb fucking cunt.
Oh.
You threw the C word out.
That's a good one.
Well, in my
that's how you say that word. That's how you say that phrase. That's how you do it.
And Ryan, yes, I threw the C word out. But in my defense, she was being a dumb fucking cunt.
Yeah, justified.
So the lady behind the counter, like, I went, I grabbed what I had to grab. I threw the shit on the counter. That other chick, she was long gone. Lady behind the counter goes, sir, we're gonna let you purchase what you are getting, and I'm sitting here going, I don't give a fuck if you tell me, I don't like this store anyway. I'll go to Dollar General. I don't give a fuck. Sell the same things. You just happen to be closer. And she goes, but, after today, after this transaction, we're gonna have to ask you not to come back in. I'm like, what?
I would make it a personal goal of mine to disguise myself, go in there as much as possible.
Dude, immediately, I looked at this chick, I went, what? She said,
you won't
well,
be there in 3 months.
None no, of the- no, it was the manager. The managers stay there, dude. I mean, yeah. Like, the girl behind the counter went and got the manager, and the manager's the one that told me I had to leave. And I'm like, what? And she goes, well, you know, you got into an argument with that. I was like, did you tell her she's not allowed to come back in? Because she called me a dumb fucking asshole.
No, they didn't.
And she was like, no, but, you know, she didn't use the language that you used. I was like, first off, if she was a man behind the counter, he would have looked at it the same way I'm looking at it. She was being a dumb fucking cunt, in my defense. And that's exactly what I told her.
That's not a way to win the argument, though.
Well, I didn't care. And, secondly, like, you're gonna kick me out because, you know, she engaged that whole thing.
Yeah, she started the whole thing.
I mean, I walked in, I stopped, I was waiting for her to go past me. She didn't continue going past me because she was sitting there like a cackling hen just talking to some random in there, and I walked past. And then, you know, she turned around and she instigated the whole thing. So I'm like, that was never my fault from the jump, and you're kicking me the fuck out? That's fine. I'll leave. I'll never come back. I don't care.
Yeah, but you're not making money anymore. How does that happen to you?
I mean, that's really what it is. It's like, I'll go buy my soda elsewhere. That's the only reason I went in there was for fucking 2 liters.
That's crazy.
I'm like, I can go to anywhere else and buy that. That's fine. You're not that much cheaper than everyone else. And to be real honest, like I said, there's another dollar store at the other end of town. Yeah. It's just a little bit longer of a drive for me, and they're the same price or a little cheaper. I whatever.
That extra 8 cents in gas, though, that adds up.
I guess, but if I'm saving 8 cents on every 2 liter, then
that's
who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
I'm losing a little bit more of my life. Oh, darn. So yeah, that happened, but like I get kicked out. Oh well. I called
you're such a badass getting banned from Family fucking Dollar.
Dude, I could not believe it happened. Like, I walked out.
Hey, if it was Dollar General, you wouldn't have gotten banned. It's just because it was a family fucking establishment.
Have you ever been in Beaver Falls Family Dollar?
Yes, I have.
Dude, that's the thing that kills me. Like, I got kicked out of this dollar store, and I see-
That is full of crackheads every day.
Oh, I mean, just, I have seen so much worse go on in this store, and I'm like, you're banning me?
You gonna ban me, huh?
You gonna ban me? I thought it was, I left, and I'm just sitting in my car just shaking my head, and I jumped on Twitter, and I'm like, I just got banned from a fucking dollar store. How the hell does this happen?
That's Alan right there. That's how
I've seen people try to return shit half eight and scream at the lady behind the counter that she's gonna give her fucking money because the chick was all cracked out and needed the money for more crack. And like, they didn't kick her out, but they're kicking me. I was just like, all right, whatever. I said cunt, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It's funny as hell now that I look at it. And
I'm sure it was a really good time. I wish I would have been a fly on the wall.
It was a good story. The funny thing was all the other customers in there just stopped, dude, and just watched me just fucking unleash on this lady. it's the circle. It's not the line. So yeah, thrown out of there and, you know, that's cool. Got to play a good bit of MTGO this weekend. Here's the only problem with that. Opiates.
Yeah, it's hard to play Magic when you're us.
The first tournament I got in, it was a sealed event, sealed daily. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play some sealed. This will work. Like, cause I can use one hand to play MTGO, no problem. I tried playing regular video games. That did not work well. I played that for about 2 minutes, put the thing down, shut it off. I was like, that ain't happening. Hurts too bad. But I jumped on MTGO. I played in a sealed event. I hit submit deck. Went, oh shit, this is not the deck I want to run.
Can't change decks like that anymore in new MTGO.
I'm changing it. So I go ahead and I change it. I hit submit deck again. And it didn't let me submit. So it just went to the other screen. And I went ahead and I did that like 4 times. And then I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, okay, this might be a known bug. That's cool. Which it turns out this was a known bug. But then after game one, I go to my sideboard and I switch things to the deck that I wanted to run. Again, it did not work in the sideboard. So I requested... I requested compensation,
as you should.
And they went ahead and gave it to me, and I'm like, cool. So I jumped into another sealed daily a little bit later in the night, and I'll be real honest with you. Once in a blue moon, you open a pool and you look at it and you go, I cannot win a game.
I have had those pools.
Something aggressive as you can.
No. Sometimes you open a pool. If you play enough sealed, Ryan, there, and I, trust me, I defend sealed to the point where I say, almost any pool you get, you can build something that can win some games. Yeah. But I always preface it with the almost. Cause once in 100 sealed events, you're going to open 6 packs that you just can't do nothing with. All of your rares are in completely different colors. You know, all of your commons are in completely different colors. It seems like it's like there's just is no cohesive deck there to be made. And I'm like, I guess I gotta go 5 color. It's not gonna be real cohesive that way because I don't have a main color to play off of. Like, this is gonna be ugly. So I went ahead and I played in a sealed event. And, yeah. After going 0-3, I decided I was dropping because they're just, I actually went on tilt. Like, there was just nothing I could do. I won a couple games, but I could not win a match with this. It was just so putridly bad. And I'm like, okay, so I set the computer down. I said, I'm not playing any more MTGO tonight. I'm just going to, you know, go on with my weekend. The next day, next morning I woke up. I had some time. I'm like, I'm going to draft some Theros because, you know, I had some Theros packs laying there and I had some tickets. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to draft some Theros. Drafted a very strange deck. Jumped into an 8-4. I got two thoughts. I went green black, splashing white for Karametra.
Okay.
I had Farika. That's the black green one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had Farika, I had Karametra, and I had a pretty good black green deck put together.
I like black green a lot there as well.
So do I. So I win game one. My opponent wins game two. Game three, I mulled 3.
Oh no.
And
did you get there?
No.
Did you really think your 3 was going to be better than your 4?
My 3 almost got me there. Almost. Because the 4 that I had was 1 land, a Karametra, a Vulpine Goliath.
Oh my god.
And the Asp that cost 5. I'm just like, I cannot keep this hand. I need something that at least I can play turn 3. So I went ahead and I took the mulligan to 3. I got 2 lands and a 3-draw.
That's a winner.
So I'm like, that'll work.
That's how we drew it up.
I will get another land within the next 3 turns, which it did. But I was too far down the barrel before I'm like, my hand's empty.
It's a bummer.
And all I've done is play lands in one thing. And
it's a like, real bummer.
Okay, I gotta make this one thing stick. And, you know, it just doesn't.
No. It's a fucking 3-drop.
So I got bounced out of that 8-4 right away, and I just looked at the wife and I said, yeah, this is not my weekend for MTGO.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to get away from it.
So I'm just gonna stop playing that. And then last night I went on, Monday Night Magic.
Cool.
Good times there. Kind of trying to, promote what's going to happen after episode 100 and, you know, try and get people to take a second look at the show who might have listened to the show very early on and decided it wasn't for them. you know, made the point that the show is going to completely change, the production value is going to go up, so on and so forth. And, you know, tried to really promote that because I would like to get people who did listen to it early on and said it wasn't for them to give it a second chance, because we've come a long way since episode one. I mean, the show is not the same as it was back then. It's clearly a better show in general. So, yeah, we're more used to being on the mic.
So, yeah, just going to improve it again.
That's it. So I'll just go ahead and I'll move the shout-outs right there. I'm going to give a shout-out to Squee, Jack, and Chewy for having me on Monday Night Magic last night. Finally got to meet Squee. He is the last one, although I've been on Monday Night Magic 6 times, and I made this point. The next time I go on there, I want everybody to be on there. I've never been on there with the full cast. Somebody has always been missing. And when I got sent the invite, everyone was supposed to be there. And then like 15 minutes after I said yes, Clues, got a hold of Chewy and said, "Hey, I hate to do this. He had a situation going on, you know, his wife's leaving or something like that. And I don't know exactly what was going on, but he could not make it." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. That's cool. You know, that'll work. You know, I'll catch you another time." But I just wanted to talk to him because, you know, we just met in person a few weeks ago. So down at Eternal Weekend after I've talked to him on the interwebs a billion times. So, you know, I just wanted to chat with him again, you know, talk about that and what have you. But yeah, it is what it is. Other shout outs. I ain't got any. Will, you got any shout outs?
Yeah, I'd like to give shout outs to you and Ryan for, you know, bringing me back in, such warm arms, man. Felt real good to come back today.
Well, I'm just glad you shook the rickets.
Glad to have you, yeah.
Yeah, the rickets was pretty tough, man. I was definitely, hurting.
I actually named the last episode that.
And your body.
Will has rickets?
No, the rickets.
Your whole body being covered in shingles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I took this part-time job as a roofer, so it didn't work out.
Yeah, the nail gun does not shoot you.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Also, would love to give a shout-out to my lovely girlfriend, Liz, for sticking with me through this and putting in work.
Yes, I actually would like to give a shout-out to Liz as well for, instead of running, she's trying to work things out, because I do think you two are good for each other.
I mean, I would hope so. You know, we've been trying for long enough, so.
Right. Ryan, shout-outs.
Ass and titties.
Ass and titties. Those are good shout-outs.
I cannot argue those shout-outs. You have an anti-shout-out? Big hairy cocks.
Man. No, dudes that are way out of Megan's league trying to holler at her at the bar, man. Come on now.
Hey, come on now. Hey. Look, man, I have made a living out of batting out of my league. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they just, you know, the slider gets away from them, it drifts up into the zone, and you can drive it for a base hit.
Dude, Angelina Jolie was married to fucking Billy Bob Thornton, like, Bobcat Goldthwait.
He's rich, though.
Okay, well, Bobcat Goldthwait, not rich, was with, what the hell's her name? It's Jay Moore's wife. I can't think of the name, but she was a model. Like, I mean, dude, you can bat out of your league. It only takes some confidence to go and do it. So don't hate on those guys, man.
Yeah, let's give a shout out to confidence.
The only thing, what's the worst that happens if you try to go after a chick that's out of your league? She's going to say no, and you're going to turn and go to the next one. I mean, I've seen you and I've seen Megan, and you might be batting out of your league.
I would argue that.
Fair.
I mean, you kind of are a pasty ginger.
I'm a handsome dude.
You are a handsome man.
I'm the sex panther, so.
But, you know,
my prowess goes a long way.
Prowess.
I mean,
prowess trigger on the stack.
You can't hate on people for hitting out of their league. You gotta try.
That's fair.
Thank you for seeing things my way.
You know, both of us have taken one for the team, so to speak, as they say in our world. Not all couples are created equally. So, occasionally you gotta.
Ryan, let me tell you something very important. There is a lid for every garbage can.
Okay, that's true. You just gotta find your lid.
Wow, that was well put, Will.
Thank you. Shout out to my buddy Steamer, telling
him. Nice philosophy, there you go. It's a good philosophy to have. Oh. But yeah, so inevitably you'll take one for the team, though. So it happens.
Yeah, in that world you got to. Hey, Ryan, I know you pay attention to the news and shit, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you see, it was on MSNBC, I want to say, like last Saturday, there was this kid born with no eyelids.
That's
What?
Yeah, dude, he's born with absolutely no fucking eyelids. So when they circumcised the child, they actually took that skin.
No fucking way.
Yeah, they took that skin and they made eyelids for him out of that skin, and the kid looks perfectly normal now.
Well, you know what'd be funny if he was cross-eyed? Cause then
yeah, they like said he was gonna be cockeyed for a while.
Cockeyed for a while. Oh my god. Come on. No, no.
Wow.
Wow.
But in.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's fucked up, dude. Science, oh, man.
Things, that was not real. That was a joke.
Science. Buzzing!
He said he's gonna be cockeyed. Right there, you should have been like, fuck.
Yeah, I knew it.
I had to put it out there, and I wasn't sure Will would have fell completely into it.
I don't listen to
Well, that's part of the reason why I picked Ryan, but at the same time, like, Will's worked with me, and at work, these are the type of jokes we tell each other. When me and Mr. Vance are together, these are how we talk to each other all day long, these horrible jokes like this, so. And I was like, you know what, this is a good one, I want to bring it on to the show.
That's a really good
answer.
Nice.
But yeah, you got any more shout outs there, Rye?
No, man, that's it.
How would people get a hold of you or hear your sultry voice?
Of course, here on Pit M's podcast on the Facebook, Brother Ryan on the Twitterverse, get at me, and Cast from Exile.
You have another one, right?
Yeah. Cast from Exile. That's, you know, by Posse for Posse over at Cast from Exile on Facebook as well, and on MTG Cast for now. So, until we get kicked off.
It's really hard to get kicked off. You have to follow very simple rules, and they don't care. And it's like, don't put swear words in your title.
No hate speech, and yeah, you're pretty good to go.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, even the hate speech, I've heard quite a bit of that get through,
too. I've heard
some hate speeches. It's mainly just don't put swear words in your title.
In your title. Yeah, that's a big one, too. So, yeah, find us there, check us out. And, the Pit M's podcast on Facebook. It's one of the best, if not the best, magic podcast group on Facebook. Or just one of the best magic communities on Facebook as far as I'm concerned.
If you wanna just waste 10 minutes of time, check Pit M's podcast on Facebook.
Anti-shout-out real quick, anti-shout-out to all you fucking trolls on the Facebook page and the posse that have found it funny and have taken, Matt Hoover's lead of liking all my shit on Facebook. I was with a client the other week and my phone must have gone off like 6 times. I thought I had it in airplane mode. It was not in airplane mode. It was a disaster.
Dude, you know why I did that? I'm sitting in the hospital waiting for my wife to get out of her surgery, and you liked like 9 things in a row by me, and I was like, okay, so we're going to do this game again. And immediately Matt's like, hell yeah! And we went through liking everything.
Matt's been doing it, yeah.
It was game time.
There's now 4 or 5 of you fuckers playing.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on that one too, Ryan. So
yeah, let's no.
Because I like you, I'm gonna like everything you have ever said.
That's what Hoover did. Hoover went.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know, man. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make it a fucking goal of mine. Every 72 seconds, I'm gonna like something. Yeah, no.
I even went over to Twitter and liked a couple.
It was really disruptive. So
heard disrupt Ryan's life through liking.
Shout out those fuckers.
Shout out to those fuckers.
There we go.
That's a good game. And you know the worst part? All the people who weren't in on the game, you just put them in on the game.
You just put them in on it. You just got 13 guys doing that every 72 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't even actually think about that, bro. I'm really stoned. Like, you should edit that.
You should edit that out, man. No way.
I don't edit that out,
actually. Yeah, that might have consequences I didn't think about.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to affect my life.
Joining love, that's for sure.
It's even spilled over to fucking
I'm
going to
make a separate Facebook for guys like to like mine. I mean, like, ladies are invited too, no doubt, like, you know, nerds who like to like Ryan, that's what it'll be called. we're not sexist.
You could just link my post there and
link it, everyone
share
like
everyone for the last 20 years, just bang, 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 bang. That's a great idea. Will, you have free time, don't you?
For the next couple of days. I have enough free time that I can Facebook.
That's sweet. But yeah, you have to moderate that. You have to move everything from every page over there.
I would consider.
You're taking trolling to the H&L.
Are you aware of like hardcore trolling leagues? Cause, you know, I'm actually just trying to get invited to one.
You might have just started one.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like a real thing. Like people who try and break like total forums, you know?
It's been pushed a little
bit.
Some of those.
Yeah. No, there's like a group of like super trolls that you have to get invited into. And it's like, oh yeah, we caused the Yahoo message boards to get shut down for 36 hours, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the gamer versus geeks. Gamer girl, whatever, the new hashtag that's been popping up everywhere, where they basically have just destroyed some girl's life. That's kind of part of it.
The Gamergate thing.
Yeah.
Bunch of haters. So.
That's kind of the group.
Fucking trolls.
Yeah, it's just trolls. They think they're being funny and they don't realize the ramifications all the time. I mean, if it's like legitimately harming you while I'm hitting the likes, you can tell me, dude, I'm with a client. Can you chill for a bit?
I couldn't get my phone out of my case and it was on, it's usually on airplane mode when I'm at someone's home and,
Badeep.
Well, it just kept vibrating and she probably thought I had a vibrator or something.
Awesome. You weren't wearing your vibrator that day?
No, I usually leave it in the car.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sweet. Will, how would people get a hold of you, buddy?
Well, man, there's this Facebook group we've been talking about. I troll there quite a bit. I mean, hang out there. I'm on MTGO as Will_Flaccid and I'm on, the Battle.net as Bad Dinner. Check me out on there. New expansion for, World of Warcraft drops on Thursday, so I'll probably be on there this weekend.
Sounds sweet. I actually saw that on the, TVs.
Yeah. There was a commercial for it during the Steelers game. It was pretty exciting.
That commercial looks badass. Is that with like the Iron Horde?
Yeah. I'm super, super excited for it.
Buying it, they put you at level 60 or some shit.
90, yeah, at level cap. Well, at current level cap, so you just have to go through the new content. But you know, I mean, it's like, it'll be the first time I get to play at the first wave of progression, so that'll be fun.
Sweet. Sick. Good to hear, Will. Looks like you got some things. That's when you're going to lose your life.
Nah, I mean, you know, like my roommate across the hall plays, so he's really hard into WoW, so he, you know, watching him be an addict is good enough for me a lot of the time.
That's sweet. That is.
I'm like the guy who goes to the crack house to watch people get high. I'm like, no, that's, I remember what that's like.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, Angelo, might I ask how I could get a hold of you?
You could find me on the Twitters. I hang out there, and I use the name Gonk Suo. It starts with a G, it ends with a U. Figure out the rest. Also, on MTGO, I'm under the exact same name, where you can send me a private message and say, hey, we want to join your clan because clans don't really mean anything anyway, and we just want to identify with the Pit Imps.
Yeah,
because that is awesome. You know what? I did forget a couple shout-outs that I'm going to throw out right now. To everybody who did well in Columbus who are in the posse, big shout-out to you. I saw some decent results on the page, and I was happy. That was the Facebook page.
No, bummed I didn't get to go to that. I just didn't know about it.
Yeah, I wanted to, but with the broken hand, like, I can't shuffle.
Can't shuffle. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, so, and I don't want to have a judge shuffle for me every round and every time a fetch is used. And, right. Yeah. Just not
do it. That's some king shit. Shuffle my deck, peon.
Yeah, but I know a lot of the judges, and like, yeah, that would end up going.
Dude, that would be a great excuse to hang out with Judge Larry all day.
It would be. Dude, I could have Larry sit next to me, though. But it was SCG judges, so
I'm not Larry. Yeah, never mind that. Those guys are dicks.
Yeah. Also, you can find me at pitmpodcast@gmail.com if you have something a little long form. If you would like to send us possibly a question for us to answer while we're highly inebriated during episode 100, That would be a good place to send those.
Get some episode 100 questions in, don't we?
Absolutely. I don't want to touch on magic that night. I want it to be all a Q&A for you guys from the fan page and the listeners who aren't on the fan page. Send me emails asking me, I don't care how bad these questions are, how dumb they are.
We will answer them all.
Right. They don't have to be magic related. I mean, if you want to ask gross questions, I don't give a shit. Just have fun with it because we're going to have fun with it.
We have fun.
Yeah. So let's, you know, get onto those. Send me them. Don't put them on the Facebook group. Send them to me. so they can be hidden from people and they're not talked about for the next 5 weeks, okay?
Right.
All right?
Good talk.
Seems like a lot of times when I ask for things, people put it on the Facebook group, and I'm like, well, if I answer it here, I'm not going to answer it on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, send those to me. Also, you could have found me this week on Monday Night Magic. I have started my recordings of the Imps Prison. They will be back right after Thanksgiving.
So excited for those.
I got a couple of them in the can. I have one that I cannot wait for week one to drop because he is going to be the first guest. I know it already because it was a very good conversation about general ethics.
Oh, wow.
Of people, and it was with somebody I never expected to get this conversation out of.
Awesome.
So
excited for it.
That was great. And aside from that, yeah, I got nothing else. Next week is going to be a fairly slow week due to the fact that the GP is being run by SCG.
Thank you.
So I think there is a second one, but it's overseas in like Madrid or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. The Legacy GP, New Jersey.
It's the largest.
It's huge.
It's already the largest Legacy GP ever. They want it to, they have enough judges for 6,000 people. They want it to get to 6,000 so they can hold the record. But it being a Legacy GP, I think they're going to have a hard
3,000 cap maybe.
Well, the cap is set at 6.
No, I know. I'm saying I don't think there's 6,000. Like, I think 3,000. Like,
I think I said last night it would be under 3,000, but I think they're already at 2,300
pre-reged.
Yeah. I mean, you know, three seems like a good top of the numbers could be.
I think it's really good for a legacy event too.
That's an incredible. I mean, could you imagine how much money in cardboard is in that room?
Yeah, and card availability is a real thing. So
yeah, it's
that's what's going to hold it back.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people are going just to play inside events, so that's cool. And there's going to be some neat the brainstorm mat that they're giving out is amazing. I wish I could be there.
Yeah, brainstorm sleeves. It's a real nice, real pretty stuff.
Yeah, I really wish I could be there. The only reason I'm not is because I had to pick Eternal Weekend instead of this because of the wife's surgery, or I would be there instead of going to Eternal Weekend a couple weeks ago. But until next week, by the way, we're also going to have, Howling Jackal as a guest next week. For those of you who don't know who that is the Pit Imps, the crazy man on the Pit Imps forum page is Mr. Corey Brown.
This guy is awesome. I cannot wait to talk.
He's a good dude. I cannot wait to finally actually speak with him. So that'll be cool. But until next week, guys.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
I'm just gonna say
goodbye. Why do you do that one with Will's here?
I'm just gonna say goodbye this week.
Have a good one, or fuck yourself.